saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm a singer and a voice coach. At 28, just as my star was rising, I got the shock of my life. I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a kind of cancer. I pictured my 2-year-old growing up, my husband Greg growing old, without me. Impossible. I decided to fight and win. I didn't know how hard it would be, how little things like doing laundry or singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to my daughter would become major efforts. My friends and family helped and supported me, and so did the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thanks to the life-saving research they help fund, survival rates are up for multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and there is hope. After 2 years of treatment, including months of chemo, I'm cancer-free. In its own way, my cancer was a blessing. There's a new song in my heart. To help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Bren Jones, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. I thought I had a reason to be upset before I got here this morning. I thought I had a reason to be upset. Howard just informed me that I have more of a reason to be upset. Gas jumped 32 cents a gallon overnight, and I don't mean going down. Gas jumped 32 cents a gallon? Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Ah, in the past 6 hours. They didn't even give us overnight. What? And you cannot tell me? You cannot? There is nothing. You needed to shut up, sit down, and get out of my face. You cannot tell me that anything happened to justify a 32 cents jump except for greed beyond description. greed beyond morality, greed beyond unthinkable greed. Unthinkable greed. What happened? What could have possibly happened to send gas prices up 32 cents in less than a day? What happened? Is this the Twilight Zone and all of us are dead because there's been a nuclear bomb that's been dropped? What happened? From $2.87 a gallon for regular, I'm not talking about the stuff that they say I'm supposed to put in my truck. I'm going to start putting water in it and praying, Lord, turn my water into gasoline. I don't like wine. Turn it into gasoline. $2.87 to $3.19 for regular. Regular. Lord. Lord. Stay with me. We have so much stuff to talk about.
My name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. When I first ran for office 2 years ago, I made a commitment to you. I said that I would see beyond and tear down the artificial barriers that hold our citizens back. I believe that elected officials should honor their commitments, and I believe that my record in Jefferson City proves that I've done just that. On the issue of education, I have consistently fought on the side of our children. When many in Jefferson City try to cheat our children by implementing school vouchers, I was not fooled when they try to pass it off as a scholarship bill. I helped gather other legislators on both sides of the aisle. We worked long and hard, and we were finally successful in defeating this wicked school voucher bill. There is more to be done, because they will be back to try to cheat our children again next year. So on August 8th, vote for Maria Chappelle Nadal, State Representative, 72nd District.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Roy DeBose from Roy's Transmission.
This is Willie Stebney of Stebney Brothers Auto Body.
Join Roy DeBose and Willie Stebney for the Community Repair Answer Hour, Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m. We will feature experts to answer your questions on all types of repair. Join us Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I thank my God I've got something within me.
Lord, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Did I tell you my name? My name is Liz Brown. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Dee!
The powers that be wants to focus our attention on what they consider our business, our personal business, and gas is very personal. But it makes you keep your nose out of the Civil War in the East, where we might really get together, create a havoc to really make these people bring our folks home.
There is so much war going on.
It's all over. It's rampant.
It's all over. War is rampant.
But it looked like we kind of was the catalyst. We stuck our nose in where it shouldn't have been.
We who?
You're right. The government.
The administration.
The administration.
This administration.
And now Hillary is all of a sudden changing her mind.
Yes.
Now she's got tough on Rumsfeld.
You know why?
Yeah, too late as far as I'm concerned.
But no, do you
want to jump back on the train?
Do you know why? And let me tell you in one word why. I'll tell you in two words. Joe Lieberman. Joe Lieberman is now losing by double digits in Connecticut. Why? Because of his position on the war.
And even if he runs as an independent, he's not going to have any Democrats to support him. That's a sore loser.
I guess they were right.
Thank you, Doctor.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. 920-WGNU. Archived at whiterosesociety.org. You know what? I'm going to give some free political advice. I normally don't do that. Normally you would have to pay for my direction politically. I want to give some free stuff. I was given yesterday something that I have never, that I hadn't had a chance to see because I don't live on the South Side. I was given the handouts from that are directed towards South St. Louis. And they are, one of them doesn't have a name on it, I only have half of it. The other one, I have the full, everybody's doing these color sheets now. Nobody is, this is, I guess, the state of the times, sign of the times. But it's this piece that comes out of Dario Gambaro's campaign. And it is a powerful piece. On the front of it, it says, let me lay the groundwork for you. On the front of this piece of literature are seven people sitting in what appears to be a boardroom-like setting. All around a board table, dressed in professional clothing. Suits, ties. We have an Asian person, white males, a young black male, and a white woman. And an older white guy, middle-aged white guy, sitting at the middle of the table. And words are coming out of his mouth. Quarterly school profits weren't high enough, so cut textbooks and get rid of pencils, too. And underneath the entire scene are these five words: when corporations run our schools. And what it's saying is that when corporations run our schools, you have the CEO saying, quarterly school profits weren't high enough, so cut textbooks and get rid of pencils, too. And then you open this up and you see this little girl with this really sad, sad face. And the language in the inside of the flyer says, in St. Louis, Jeff Smith has privatized public education by outsourcing his charter schools. He claims to be a progressive, but Jeff Smith is outsourcing public education in St. Louis to a global corporation. The charter school that Jeff Smith brags about co-founding are run by Edison Schools, a big corporation that has mixed educational results. Jeff Smith often brags of co-founding Confluence Academies, yet he fails to tell you that in communication arts, that's English and reading, Jeff Smith schools have a 6% passage rate for for 2005. That's 30 points below the St. Louis public school system's average. These kids have definitely been outsourced when corporations run our schools. Now, fabulous piece. Fabulous piece. Here is the political strategy out here. Jeff Smith needs to make a 6-7% dent in the black votes in North St. Louis. If Dario Gambara is not going to get a single vote from North St. Louis, nor should he. Nor should he. He'd be an awful choice for us. It'd be an awful choice. He would be an awful choice. But if he were a smart elected official, a smart person running for office, he would be sending these pieces north. Because the only thing that Jeff Smith is running on in North St. Louis are his schools, his failed schools. So what would this do? This would free up black votes for black folks. And it would cut the 6% that Jeff Smith is trying to get in North St. Louis. If you were a smart politician. Now, I don't know how quickly y'all can turn on a dime here. Y'all should send this stuff north. It's not about getting any Northside votes because you ain't going to get them. Nor should you. But if you want to kill Jeff Smith's black vote, if there's any, and he's trying to get 6%, you'd send this stuff north. There's another wonderful piece. Jeff Smith's charter schools are even worser than the St. Louis public schools. Jeff Smith's failing charter schools, the cycle of poor schools and politics. It's morally wrong for kids to receive such a poor education, yet Jeff Smith brags of co-founding Confluence Academy charters. Only 13% of their students met basic state standards in math, compared with 36% of the St. Louis public schools. This is stuff that Dario Gambara should be sent. Don't be scared. Don't be scared and don't be stupid. Your competition is Jeff Smith. Now, black folks need the black votes. You know what? Some of you black candidates should be getting some of this stuff. Yeah, some of you black folks need to be getting this this clearly anti-Jeff Smith stuff. Because this is, I decided something today. I thought about something this morning. I was listening to a talk show this morning, a radio talk show this morning. I heard the voice of Jeff Smith. And it came to mind, I think that the only thing that we can conclude about Jeff Smith is that he's worse than the Klan. Now, that sounds extreme to some of you. And I thought about it I thought about it this morning. I thought Jeff Smith is worse than the Klan. I know it sounds extreme to some of y'all, but stay with me as I explain this. Jeff Smith this morning on another radio station said this, that he wants to obliterate anybody thinking about black and white. And he says, and I'm doing the proof of my commitment to that, as I'm running the exact same campaign in North St. Louis as I am in South St. Louis. You're a damnable liar. Because I know good and doggone well that you haven't sent one single Driving While Black flyer to deep South St. Louis. No, you haven't. I know you haven't. I know you haven't sent, I'm doing better for you the more in your community than anybody in your community. I know you haven't sent that racist piece to South St. Louis. And the Klan never lied or misled black people about who the Klan was. Oh, they were clear. They lied, and they never lied to white people about who they were. Jeff Smith is lying to both black and white people about who he is. Oh, he's worse than the Klan. Worse than the Klan. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Jeep dealer. Westbound 44 Southwest, there's an accident blocking the exit ramp. Southbound 55 at Lindbergh, there's an accident that's been cleared. Southbound 170 at Olive, that incident's been cleared as well, too, but you may see some delays. These bridges will be closing again at noon for the city's Live on a Levee celebration. Westbound 270 at 367 and New Florissant looks good. Northbound 270 at 44 is on the move, and all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge are looking good at this hour. However, you're going to see some heavy traffic getting onto the bridge from northbound Route 3 as paving operations have the left lane closed. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Jeep dealer. With Jeep, experience the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on most Jeep vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 90. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Saturday, pretty much the same, mostly sunny, high around 90. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. Then on Sunday, hot, partly cloudy, high in the mid-90s. The temps will be, the heat index, actually, will be around 102 by the afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Paid for by citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer.
Every day in Jefferson City, someone tries to convince you that what you believe in cannot be done, should not be done, and will not be done. What I have learned serving as your state representative is that it is not just about your positions. It is also about your heart. Do you have the heart to fight and succeed? I believe that my record demonstrates that I do. I fought against a school voucher campaign funded by out-of-state billionaires, and we won. I took a principled stance on restoring health care benefits for people with disabilities. I was the only Democratic freshman last year that actually got legislation passed. I was able to secure $2.7 million for the Missouri Arts Council. My name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. No matter how many people in Jefferson City tell me it cannot be done, I will not stop fighting for you. My heart won't let me.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a personal invitation to join me for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality. Part of Women Inspiring Women every Monday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I believe when you follow your purpose, you have no choice but to be phenomenally successful, because all of the resources and opportunities you need become attracted to you. So join me, Lethea Owens, for Motivational Mondays, part of Women Inspiring Women, every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Hello, this is Joseph Palm, candidate for State Representative 57th District. More experience in government than anyone in this race. More education than anyone in this race. And the only elected Democrat in this race. Don't settle for anything but the Palm. Punch 29 on Tuesday, August 8th. For more information, visit my website, joepalm.com.
When you vote for Palm, you're in good hands.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
Hello, I'm Talib Dean T.D.L. Amin, candidate for State Representative in Missouri's 57th District. I am committed to health care for all Missourians. I will strongly advocate for the restoration of Medicaid benefits that were eliminated for more than 100,000 Missourians. I will support the strengthening of our educational system by fighting for the resources for our children and teachers to succeed in the classroom. I will work to continue to advocate for the inclusion of minorities, women, and disadvantaged business enterprises in the 57th District. I am committed to community stabilization. I will work with the ultimate goal of empowering our community by expanding on our senior home repair programs, gang abatement programs, and work readiness programs. I pledge to be a strong, unwavering voice that will not compromise our community's interests. On August the 8th, I ask for your support by punching number 30 for common sense leadership you can trust. To get involved, please call 454-9035.
Paid for by the community to elect Elamine 57, Lizzie Bastain, Treasurer.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Everything will be all right. He assures her, but she doesn't hear a word that he says. Preoccupied, she's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing is not right. He doesn't know what to say. So he prays, whatever, 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 whatever happens, don't let go of my hand.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Here's the deal. Here is the deal. As I'm talking about the strategy for Dario Gambaro, please understand, I'm not advocating for Dario Gambaro. Dario Gambaro would be bad for black folks, and Dario Gambaro is just as hypocritical as Jeff Smith is. These are two hypocritical, sneaky, snaky folks. Sneaky, snaky. The Jeff Smith piece is useful on the north side because it does tell the truth about Jeff Smith, but it lies about Dario Gambaro. Because if you pull up the Missouri Ethics Commission's 48-hour report, somebody yesterday told me, state representative told me, you need to stay out of my Ethics Commission reports. You know too much of my business. But if you pull up the 48-hour report from All Children Matter, the voucher people, you will see that they probably paid for these Jeff Smith ads. They probably did because they paid they spent $9,349 on Dario Gambaro. Do you hear me? The voucher people spent $9,349 on Dario Gambaro. So let us be clear. Dario Gambaro is just as much of a dishonest politician and trying to hide who he is as Jeff Smith is. But on this piece about Jeff Smith, you know, the devil can always tell you about the other. The devil can always tell you the truth about the devil. Another devil. Okay? And there's no question about that. Because what he's saying about Jeff Smith is the truth. But it's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The whole truth is Dario Gambaro is about vouchers. And Jeff Smith is about failed charter schools. And they're fruit of the same poisonous tree. They both take money away from our babies in school, public schools. Charter schools are supposed to do two things. They're supposed to do better and do it cheaper. And Jeff Smith's charter school does neither one of those things. But it is a very useful piece. It's a very useful piece. And if Dario Gambaro is trying to hurt Jeff Smith, I suggest you send these pieces to North St. Louis. You ain't going to get no vote. You shouldn't get no votes. But black folks need to be voting for a black person for the state senate. So it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Can this be right? Can this be right? I have to check on something. Can this be right? Can the woman who's running for, Susan Monty, who's running for state auditor, she is supporting John. If John DeStefano, I got to check on this, if he's the same person that is running for in a historically black seat, he's received $10,222 from All Children Matter. And wouldn't that be interesting? Because there are going to be people that are not going to be carrying Susan Monty, the Democrat, one of the Democrats that's running for state auditor. I'm not voting for her. In this Democratic primary, not doing it. I don't think she's going to be on my ballot. I've been told she's not going to be in my ballot. And if this is true, I have to check on this. I'm going to check on this over the break. If the person that she put in a historically black race is being funded by the voucher people, oh, we've got some serious problems. We got some serious issues. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Ms. Liz?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Great. I'm doing good.
All right, now.
Hey, I got two things.
What
I need to get the title of the artist of that Don't Let Go of My Hand. I love that.
You don't know who that is?
I have no idea.
You don't know who that is?
It sounds like Michael Jackson.
That's exactly who it is. That's Michael. That's my boy, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I got our love for the brother. So
okay.
What's the title of the CD?
His last CD. The last one that he put out.
Okay, the last CD.
The last CD that he put out. Don't Let Go of My Hand. Isn't that a beautiful set? And you know who else
is?
You know who else is in the background of that?
Who?
Carlos Santana's.
Okay.
So he plays in the... It's a beautiful song.
No doubt.
It's a glorious song.
For sure. Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay, well, I also wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on the National Black Caucus? Could they be doing better? Do they really benefit African Americans? What do you think about that? Because I'm on my way to work. I'm calling you from East St. Louis.
Okay, well, I've done a number of shows on my profound disappointment and concern about the Black Caucus.
Yes, ma'am.
The Black Caucus is really being controlled by Nancy Pelosi.
Okay.
I'll give you an example of that. She told them to stand down on Katrina and let the Democrats take the lead on that.
Okay.
Members of the Black Caucus, and I had the chairman on my show, and the chairman on my show, when I asked him about what the position of the Black Caucus was on the bankruptcy bill, and on a number of other bills, he said that we don't do that. Well, then what's the purpose of the Black Caucus if you're not going to take positions? He said, we've taken positions on historically black colleges. That's a no-brainer.
Uh-huh.
You know, but you don't take, and that's because so many members of the Black Caucus are supporting this DLC type of way of thought, that same way that Joseph Lieberman is. They're running to white folks and running to the middle instead of staying strong as a caucus.
Uh-huh.
I'm fearful of the demise of the Black Caucus.
Okay.
It has been infiltrated successfully. The Black Caucus didn't do anything when Cynthia McKinney, on the floor of the United States Congress, for the first time and perhaps the only time in the history of the United States Congress, she was called out her name. She was called the B word when she was on the floor of the caucus. And you know what? One of the man who is now the chairman of the Black Caucus defended the white guy who called her the B word.
Wow, that's an insult.
Okay, no, yeah. Those are fighting words. I would have to be as Deborah Mathis, who has been on my show on Looking Black segment,
uh-huh.
a black journalist.
Uh-huh.
She said if someone had done that to me, I would be the former congresswoman because we would have got down.
Oh, no
and
doubt.
And you'd have to go get me out of jail. I would be the former congresswoman from Georgia.
For sure.
All right, now.
All right.
All
take
right.
care. Good talking to you.
All right, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Get to work. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Dolores.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Yesterday, Miss Barkings was on there.
Uh-huh.
And
what did you think when Amber was talking?
I've always thought Amber was great. Let me say this. You know, Amber, now are these other people that's running for office, all except maybe one other, I haven't seen them. She has, even before this election has came up, she's always been at our meetings. And the way she was talking yesterday on this radio is the way she always talks. She's the same way. She has never, Liz, said at our meetings one thing bad about any of these candidates, even the lady that's running against her.
That's right.
She has never, and you will not hear her say anything against her. And I think, you know, there's a good point to be made of this. Why is she coming out of her position to run in this race when she got 2 years left?
Two years.
Two terms left.
Amber has served for 8 years. Yaphet
right.
served for four, and she's jumped out to run in this race. I think
to question that.
Absolutely. And the other piece of it also is for me, Dolores, is. Oh, and I think we have to take a break here.
Okay.
Okay. But I will finish my thought on this because I think that you raise a very good point and a consistent observation about Amber.
Yeah, if you want to really make your vote count, I told people before, and I've been going around to the houses talking. She has always said fast. When she get up there, she passed those bills the right way. It's nothing else to be said. You know who to put in that office next week.
And who are you saying?
Right.
Who are you saying?
Okay.
No.
Amber Barkin.
All right. Just wanted to tap in.
All right.
All right. Thanks for your call. Listen, folks, I'll be back. Stay with me.
Wake-up call, global news update. Dateline London. The BBC has obtained a confidential memo from the British ambassador to Iraq that indicates he thinks a civil war is more likely to take place instead of democracy. William Patey also says there will probably be a breakup in the country that will follow ethnic divides. He stopped short of calling the situation hopeless, but says the next 5 to 10 years will definitely be quite ugly. The assessment of the situation was Patey's last official correspondence from Baghdad before returning to England. He also said the next 6 months will determine the future outcome of the country. And Dateline Washington. The Bush administration has come up with a plan to expand the authority of military-style courts to cases that are not directly associated with international terrorism acts. This plan would replace a military trial system that the Supreme Court said was illegal just a few months ago. It would also allow the Secretary of Defense to add any crime so desired to the jurisdiction of this court, which would allow more individuals to be prosecuted before military juries. This also means that people accused would have their rights severely limited, even as far as being able to confront their accusers. Word from the White House is that these new procedures are necessary because the war on terrorism uses classified information that has to be protected. Hearsay evidence might also be allowed to be used in such trials, even if it was obtained by torture or other forms of coercion. And under this new proposal, a death sentence could be obtained if only 5 jurors voted for it. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
What you say? It's time to get your shop on and you need to get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. That's right. Big screen television, small screen televisions, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your garden, a garden of wonder. Get on down to Sears. My name is Liz Brown, and when you do it, tell them I told you to.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, and I'm running for state representative in the 60th District. Are you tired of the politicians that only come around when they need your vote? Politicians that care more about serving themselves and their family members than the interests of the people. Politicians that use eminent domain to take people's homes. On Tuesday, August 8th, the power will be in your hands. You can make a change by voting for me, Jamila Nasheed. I don't only talk the talk, I walk the walk. As your next state representative, I will fight for a livable wage, better schools, job opportunities for our community, and I will also protect homeowners from eminent domain. I will hold regular meetings and return phone calls. That is my pledge to you. On Tuesday, August 8th, fill in number 38 on your ballot. Vote for Jamila Nasheed, a voice for the voiceless.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jamila Nasheed, Felicia Brooks, treasurer.
Fill in 38.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Just a little touch of star quality.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Yes, I may have missed. Did you give a number for Amber Bargain's headquarters?
I did not.
Okay, do you have it?
I think I do. If it's on this literature, it sure is. 361-5060. That's 361-5060.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And the concern that I wanted to articulate before we went to the break about observing other people, all of the candidates in this race, and I am very concerned about the candidacy of Yaphet El-Amin, and I'm concerned about it from this perspective. The concentration of power, the dynasty building efforts. I don't think that any community needs a dynasty. Dynasties are by their own nature exclusive entities. You're not welcome in. You're not part of a dynasty. Everyone is not part of a dynasty. And our community wasn't founded on dynasties. We're not about. We are a collective. We are a prideful collective with issues that are unique and exclusive to us. And when you have in the race of Yaphet El-Amin, you have her husband running for state rep. You have Yaphet running for senator. Her husband is already the committee man. She's already the committee woman. Just feel this. One, if you don't approve of, if you don't get along with, if you are not part of that particular dynasty's thing, then you're out of it. There is no refuge in the storm of politics that impact on all of us. So it's problematic. It's not community thinking, because I asked yap at my own self. Sat down, had a conversation with her, and asked her about the dynasty component, the concentration of power in one family. And she said, and I was troubled by this response, do you think that it is fair for my husband to be punished and not be able to pursue his political ambitions because he's married to me? Now, that's mighty selfish thinking. Because it's not about whether or not your husband can be an elected official. It's about, is the community best served by having power concentrated in one place? And if you're only looking at unfairness to your husband's political ambitions, we're all in a world of trouble. And think about it from a pragmatic point of view. This is a family that has a number of young children. One family emergency, God forbid, could take your elected official out of voting in the House, out of voting in the Senate, and out of dealing with your issues as committee people. That you, my father, when we were young, my father's Green Berets, turning Ranger, hoorah, whatever, you know, I mean, thinking person, strategical mind, officer, very strategical mind. We did not all, as a family, fly on a plane together. Because the whole family, if something happened, God forbid, the whole family would be taken out. We split up the family when we flew places. You don't do that. It is foolish. It is non-strategical to put all of your apples in one family basket. One family fight could take folks out of commission. One family, it is not smart. It's not smart for the, it's not community thinking. It's problematic. It is not fair. It's selfish. And it is not collective or community. Anita.
Yes. Liz.
Yes.
I differ with you strongly on this because you're giving a negative. Psychologically, you're planting a seed of destruction and can't do. If we look at the beauty of the clay, the Carnahans, if we look at the beauty...
What's the beauty of the Carnahans? What's that beauty?
That's a family. That's a family that serves our community.
No, it served our community.
It's
problematic. I'm going to let
right.
you hold your thought because what I do is I stop people when they get to a point and try to dissect that point with them. Yep. The Carnahans, first of all, the Carnahans, what they had is this isn't a dynasty as much as it was a legacy. There weren't 15 Carnahan serving at one time. There was the husband. He died. The wife went into his seat, and she was unelected, and I'd like to think that I had something to do with that. She was unelected. Then we had a daughter that was running, that ran for, on their family name, not because she had any kind of history. She ran and became and obtained a state office. Then we have a son that's a congressperson. They both do not impact on one area. This is one area for black people. One strong. This is nothing but black people.
Okay.
There is not the concentration that you're talking about with the clays. And again, with the clays, we're not talking about. We're talking about father did his gig, son did his gig. They didn't serve at the same time. They didn't capture every single component of a political position.
Liz, when you speak like that. Your family not only is biological, but it's also your political family. And we know, without a hesitation of doubt, that there are people in office that extend across this entire city.
Explain. What do you mean? Explain. Give me an example.
When you look at people in politics, their biological family is not the only family that has the power. There are networks of power right now. And
Anita, we're talking about the specifics.
Wait a minute.
We are talking about...
Amber Barkins, her own record does not warrant a promotion, as you say. Her own record does not warrant a promotion.
Again, we're talking about the Elamines who not only want the Senate seat, not only want the House seat, but already have the committee seats. We're talking about something that is totally different.
What are you looking at? You look right to your own right hand. When Mr. Troop was in office, he still holds what? He held two offices.
Sweetheart. He finished with one office. He went to another office. And I do have a problem with committee people being the state reps. I don't think that that's a good idea. And I've said that. I don't believe in that. It's not a good idea. We need a diversity of people and issues. It's not a good idea. It's never a good idea. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I'll be back.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU.
Charged there in Phoenix Police Headquarters being questioned. Phoenix police have been searching for the calculated killer or killers for months. They are tied to 36 shootings, including 6 murders.
Reporter Christopher Sine in Phoenix. No break in the heat yet for lots of states between Oklahoma and the East Coast. A combination of heavy power usage and thunderstorms are triggering power outages that are making matters worse. 20,000 people in New York City had no power early today, said Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer.
We have a very serious situation. The grid is being tested.
At least 27 deaths are attributed to this week's heat wave. Some relief is expected by tomorrow. Heavy rain, but no hurricane in the Caribbean, as Chris, now a tropical depression, runs out of energy. In El Paso, Texas, meanwhile, evacuation buses are standing by as officials keep an eye on the rain-swollen Rio Grande at a stressed earthen dam across the U.S.-Mexico border. If that dam breaks, it could send a tidal wave of up to 6 million gallons of water toward El Paso. Several neighborhoods evacuated already. In the Middle East, facing militant threats to hit Tel Aviv, Israeli forces spent all night pounding targets. Details from ABC's Kate Snow in Beirut.
It was one of the biggest poundings of Beirut since this conflict began. Israeli planes made 24 flights over one neighborhood in less than an hour. By daylight, the destruction is vivid. The Israeli military says they struck offices and homes used by Hezbollah militants, the port, and a weapons bunker underneath a soccer stadium.
This is ABC News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
It's Britney Spears night at one New Jersey ballpark tonight, hoping to cash in on recent tabloid headlines.
Major League Baseball team hoping to hit a home run with tonight's promotion. The Newark Bears holding Britney Spears baby safety night. The pop princess was criticized after being photographed holding her son in her lap while driving. She's defended her parenting skills, and the baseball club says Britney's celebrity has brought child safety to the forefront. Fans at tonight's game will receive information on car seat safety. Those who bring their baby or dress like one themselves will get into the ballpark free. Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
In Bedford, New Hampshire, Sandy Fontaine took advantage of the record heat to bake cookies on the dashboard of her Toyota. She says the only requirement to bake cookies in your car is for the outside temperature to be 95 degrees, so it'll rise to about 200 in the car. She says the smell is wonderful. I'm Louise Schiavone, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good
morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, two teenage suspects are wanted for the shooting of a St. Louis postal employee. Police say the teens approached the 54-year-old victim Wednesday night in the 1600 block of Chestnut and asked him for money. The suspects then shot the man in the chest. The victim managed to get to the downtown post office to call for help. He remains hospitalized, but his injuries aren't considered life-threatening. The National Guard is clearing out of St. Louis after cleaning up from the storms and power outages. The last detachment of Guard members left Wednesday night. St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay says the Guard did their work well, efficiently, and without complaint. They helped remove debris, took people to cooling centers, distributed food, and went door to door to check on elderly residents during their two-week stay. If you missed yesterday's Mental Health Task Force public hearing in St. Louis, it's not too late to be heard. That's according to Missouri Department of Mental Health spokesperson Lois Thomas, who says hearing from as many people as possible is the key to meaningful reform.
We need to know from people who are in the trenches who actually give and receive services, so the improvements will be valid for people.
Thomas says those who want to be heard can call the Department of Mental Health General Counsel's office to schedule an opportunity to testify at one of the remaining hearings at 1-800-364-9687. They can also submit their comments in writing at www.dmh.mo.gov. Finally this hour, the Cardinals suffered their seventh consecutive defeat last night in an 8-1 loss to the Phillies. Redbirds starter Jason Marquis fell to 12-9 on the season after permitting 4 runs, 9 hits, and 5 walks in 6 innings of work. Meanwhile, Phillies rookie left-hander Cole Hamels dominated the Cards, allowing just 1 run on 2 hits while striking out 12 in 7 innings, and second baseman Chase Utley banged out 3 more hits to extend his hitting streak to 35 games. The Cardinals managed just 2 base hits in the game, but their lead in the Central Division remains 3.5 games over Cincinnati. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Subterranean termites live underground. They just visit your house for takeout. Don't worry, the Orkin Man's been fighting invasions for over 100 years. For a free inspection, call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN today. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Jeep dealer. Northbound 270 at Gravelway, there's a vehicle on fire. Expect delays approaching the scene. Westbound 44 at Southwest, there's an accident blocking the exit ramp. The bridge will close at noon today for Live on the Levee celebration. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, look for heavy volume. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass, 270 looks good. Eastbound 70 from 79 all the way to Mid Rivers Mall, look for traffic building there. Westbound 270 at 111 and the Canal Bridge is slow. Westbound 64 at 5570, look for heavy volume there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, westbound East Bridge, and northbound Route 3, you can expect delays as westbound 5570 onto the PSB. Look for road construction, left lane is closed, and traffic is slowing near 4th Street. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Jeep dealer. With Jeep, experience the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on most Jeep vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Today, mostly sunny. High around 90 this evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Saturday, mostly sunny. High around 90 as well. Saturday evening, mostly clear, low in the lower 70s. Sunday, it gets hot again. Highs in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 102 by early afternoon Sunday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen? I think
Edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Looking Black. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And as always, don't forget we are streamed, that's right, from Xenia to Zimbabwe. You can catch the wake-up call at www.wgnu.net. And also, this show is archived daily at White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org. Get up. Get to me. This is Friday. Friday before incredible elections all across this country, all across our state. Friday after all kinds of issues have been percolating through our society and our world. Friday. So we need to talk about it from the perspective of journalists of African descent, and we're going to do it this morning with Kevin Sanders. Kevin Sanders, for 8 years, he has been the editor-writer for the Ohio University College of Osteopathic Medicine. He was also the managing editor of the college's award-winning alumni publication, the Ohio DO. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, I'm getting by this morning, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get by and get this done.
All right.
What are some of the stories that caught your mind, that have caught your mind, that have caught your eye when looking back on the stories that have come out this week?
Well, I guess in this, to be honest with you, there are quite a few things that caught my eye this week, but I just for right now I like to focus on a story that I think probably came out last week. Is that okay?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, all right. There was a Harris poll release, I guess, it was a little bit further out than last week, on July 21st. And I don't know if you've discussed this already, but the percentage of adults who thought that Saddam Hussein, that is, that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, actually increased to currently now 50% from 36% in February 2005. And I just find this absolutely, incredulous, astounding, considering all of the evidence and all of the reports that have come out over the past year and a half that have...
Who did they poll? George Bush's family?
They might have. Well, actually, I think who they might have polled are those 25% of the American populace that John Dean says has an authoritative complex, so to speak. Are you familiar? I know you know who John Dean is. He recently came out with a book called Conservatives Without a Conscience,
mm-hmm.
in which he talks about the profile. He talks about essentially, in one sense, the hijacking of the Republican Party and how the Republican Party and conservatives have a change so radically from the days of Goldwater, because he considers himself a Goldwater Republican, and how today's Republicans don't resemble anything like those conservatives. Their values, their attitudes are so different, and in fact, he says that in the book he documents the work of social scientists saying that, you know, to a large extent there is this authoritative complex or personality that it seems to be a part of the profile of today's Republicans, where they look for a leader, they look for a strong leader, and that's, and in one sense, essentially, that's all they want. They don't want to be bothered with the facts.
I think that is as a accurate or partially accurate assessment of them. I would say it's a colonialistic worldview in terms of because race factors in there and how willing they are to proceed on race issues and define people in terms of race and who is better and who is not. I think that there's such an intolerance there that is born out of racism, intolerance for anyone that doesn't have their opinion, and a double intolerance for people that don't look like them, that don't share their
opinion. Well, I think in one sense you just touched on something. I think Mr. Dean yesterday, yesterday when he was being interviewed, he said that, you know, that the conservatives actually are rather fractious group, that, you know, they don't have really, they're different camps. I'm sure you're familiar with the term neoconservative. Then there are the paleoconservatives. The neoconservatives are essentially led like people like Bill Kristol and Charles Krauthammer.
And we need to hold that thought because we have to take a break. I'm talking to Kevin Sanders. This is Looking Black. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back.
I'm Talib Dean T.D. El-Amin, candidate for state representative in Missouri's 57th District, and I am committed to health care for all Missourians. I will strongly advocate for the restoration of Medicaid benefits that were eliminated for more than 100,000 Missourians. I will support the strengthening of our educational system by fighting for the resources for our children and teachers to succeed in the classroom. I will work to continue to advocate for the inclusion of minorities, women, and disadvantaged business enterprises in the 57th District. I am committed to community stabilization.
I will work with the ultimate goal of empowering our community by expanding on our senior home repair programs, gang abatement programs, and work readiness programs. I pledge to be a strong, unwavering voice that will not compromise our community's interests. On August the 8th, I ask for your support by punching number 30 for common sense leadership you can trust. To get involved, please call 454-9035.
Paid for by the committee to elect Elamine 57, Lizzie Bastain, Treasurer.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art, all impossible.
Looking Black, the Week in Review, the Week Ahead. In Differing Perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Looking Black. My name is Liz Brown. My guest journalist today is Kevin Sanders. He is joining us from Athens, Ohio. Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So we're talking about neocons and Republicans revealing themselves for what they are.
Right. Well, one of the things that Dean said, if I'm remembering correctly, is that all conservatives, one of the things that unites them is their drives and their attitudes about liberals and liberalism and the left. That's the one thing, this fear, this disdain, this desire to keep liberals out of power is one thing that they are able to rally around despite the somewhat deep divisions that, you know, exist among conservatives. Anyway, getting back to the point about the U.S. public, it's amazing, as I said, to think that despite all the information that's come out, that 50% of the American public can still believe that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction.
Has that poll been replicated anyplace else?
I don't know, not that I know of, but I can tell you it is a Harris poll.
Uh-huh.
So this is not, you know.
I would really have to see that replicated someplace else. That had to be a glitch in the matrix. That it doesn't track with anything that is happening here.
I tend to agree. However, the one thing that I think, if it is replicated, I think this could be very bad news, I think, for maybe Democrats, because it seems as though facts that the American public isn't absorbing enough, getting enough information, and of course.
Well, doesn't it also raise the question, Kevin, of if this is going to impact on the Democratic or on the elections come November?
Uh-huh.
Don't we need to see also a correlation of polls going up for George Bush's approval, and that's not happening. Polls going up for Republican approval as well.
I don't necessarily think that's the case, because, you know, there can be lots of reasons why you have seeming, well, I shouldn't say lots of reasons, but there can be very good reasons for having seemingly contradictory information in polls. So I don't necessarily think that's so. I mean, I think that obviously, I mean, you pointed out rightly that Bush's approval rating is, you know, in the, I guess in the mid-30s or upper 30s
mm-hmm.
right about now.
Mm-hmm.
He occasionally gets a bounce when there's some, when I say a bounce, and the bounce that he gets is typically maybe 1, 2, 3%. That's really not much of a bounce.
No, it's not much of a bounce.
Right, but he'll get a lift on the announcement of some news, and obviously, I mean, the general trend has been down, and it's stuck that way. But I don't know if, as I'm just suggesting, I mean, I think the fact that Ned Lamont is doing so well, at least according to once again to polls.
But a number of polls. I mean, with Ned Lamont, we're talking about a number of polls that have been following this from the moment that he got in the race, and every single poll is indicating that there are some that are putting him in double digits ahead of.
I think most polls are.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be. I'm afraid there seems to be moments of cognitive dissonance
that
the American public experiences, despite the information that
maybe everybody is so shell shocked, and maybe people are just exhausted, or maybe people are just distracted by how the troubles that they're facing in their own lives.
Or I think maybe the other part of this, I think, is that there are people, like me and like you and other people who are very much so focused in on this, and maybe a lot of this has to do, as you just implied, is because this is what we do for a living,
mm-hmm.
or this is one of our passions, okay? But I think for, as you indicated, for a lot of people, maybe they don't track this information as closely, and I think our media, the news media in this country, has done an absolutely horrible job of presenting this information in a manner consistent that it is coming out and reporting on it in a way that actually makes it easier for the American public to digest. I think that the Bush administration has been extremely effective in managing news cycles and muting the bad news that comes out. Now, obviously, once again, the trend has been down, generally speaking, but it seems to be very, very difficult, for instance, to raise a storm about the actions of the Bush administration that kind of sticks. And there are a lot of reasons. Well, I think there are three primary reasons for this. Number one, careerism on the part of those reporting things. Number two, I think corporate interests as well kind of interfere, because if corporate media have an agenda that they want to bring that's coming forth to the Congress or the executive branch, they don't want to be seen as the enemy of the Congress or the executive branch. And the other item there is, I think that the Republicans and conservatives have waged a very successful war to paint the media as being liberal. And so the media bend over backwards in order not to appear liberal.
So there are some races that people are watching there in Ohio as well, aren't there? There's a Senate race.
An interesting thing that just came up. I think you probably know Ken Blackwell, who's mm-hmm. an African American and also a Republican, and also the gentleman around whom
Ohio's Catherine Harris.
Ohio's Catherine Harris.
Yes.
Okay, exactly. Very well said. He's a Republican. He's going up against a U.S. congressman from Ohio, Ted Strickland, a Democrat. And you know, the latest thing that the Republicans, although the Republican Party is now saying that they repudiated, came out as a charge against, well, not a charge, but a rumor to help, because I think Strickland is leading Blackwell in the polls, that are promoting a rumor, or certain parts of the conservatives, the Republicans, are promoting a rumor that Strickland's gay.
Mm,
the guy's been married for, you know, I think like 20-something years. No one ever seemed to notice his gayness up until now, that he seems to have a lead against Ken Blackwell.
How much of a lead does he have against Blackwell?
I tell you the truth, I don't have those numbers in front of me, but the last time I remember seeing, if I remember correctly, once again, he had, I believe he had something like a 10 or 11% leading.
Okay, so a double digit lead.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, and this is Liz Brown, Looking Black. I'm talking to Kevin Sanders. We will be back. Join us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Jeep dealer. Northbound 270 between Gravois and 44, vehicle on fire and right lane is closed. Expect delays approaching the C&E. Bridge will be closing at noon today for Live on the Levee. Westbound 70 at Blanchett, look for an incident. It's been cleared, but you may see some delays. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203, an accident in the left shoulder. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, very heavy volume going on there as well. Eastbound 70 from 79 to Mid Rivers Mall looks kind of congested at this hour. Westbound 270 at 111 all the way in the Canal Bridge. Look for slow traffic and all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, your Eads Bridge, and your King Bridge approaches. Expect delays due to westbound 5570 onto the PSD. They've got road construction, left lanes closed. They are paving and traffic slows near 4th Street. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Jeep dealer with Jeep Experience, the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on most Jeep vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly sunny today, high around 90. This evening, mostly clear, low around 70. Saturday, pretty much the same, mostly sunny, high around 90. Saturday evening, mostly clear, once again, low in the lower 70s. Then on Sunday, hot, partly cloudy, high in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 102 by the afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, my name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. When I first ran for office 2 years ago, I made a commitment to you. I said that I would see beyond and tear down the artificial barriers that hold our citizens back. I believe that elected officials should honor their commitments, and I believe that my record in Jefferson City proves that I've done just that. On the issue of education, I have consistently fought on the side of our children. When many in Jefferson City try to cheat our children by implementing school vouchers, I was not fooled when they try to pass it off as a scholarship bill. I helped gather other legislators on both sides of the aisle. We worked long and hard, and we were finally successful in defeating this wicked school voucher bill. There is more to be done, because they will be back to try to cheat our children again next year. So on August 8th, vote for Maria Chappelle Nadal, State Representative, 72nd District.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Kenneth Jones, candidate for 4th District State Senator. Governor Blunt and the right-wing Republican state legislature recently passed a so-called voter identification bill. This bill will deprive us of our right to vote. When you elect me state senator, I will fight them in the state legislature and organize our community to remove them at the ballot box. Remember to punch number 28 on August 8th for Kenneth Jones for state senator.
Paid for by Citizens for Jones, Margot Deloche, Treasurer.
Invisible. That's the word a lot of us have been using to describe our current state representative. Have you seen her? She's been in office as a state representative and school board member for 20 years. She's out of touch with the people and issues that affect our community. Issues like the closure of Normandy Hospital, a school board which has failed to provide the tools necessary to educate our children and having one of the highest unemployment rates in the region. It's time for a change. And change is good. Vote for Henry Iwanafu for State Representative, 71st District.
Paid for by the citizens to elect Henry Iwanafu, State Representative, Adrian Schiffer, Treasurer.
Hello, this is Joseph Palm, candidate for State Representative, 57th District. More experience in government than anyone in this race. More education than anyone in this race. And the only elected Democrat in this race. Don't settle for anything but the Palm. Punch 29 on Tuesday, August 8th. For more information, visit my website, joepalm.com.
When you vote for Palm, you're in good hands.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Looking Black. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm talking to Kevin Sanders. He's a writer, editor for the Ohio University College of Osteopathic Medicine. He's joining us from Athens, Ohio. Kevin, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much.
So what else has caught your eye, politically speaking?
Okay, I guess this week, John Conyers and the House Judiciary Committee Democrats gave a preview of a report which was an update to the Democrats' December 2005 report entitled A Constitution in Crisis that the Bush administration may have broken more than two dozen federal laws and regulations, some of them multiple times. I guess the formal information, release of this information actually might be out now, maybe it'll be out next week. This laundry list of wrongdoings actually could be the prelude to impeachment proceedings, but as John Conyers points out, you know, the idea here is not for us just to jump on the impeachment bandwagon,
now,
but rather to investigate what the administration has been doing and reveal it to the American public, because the American public needs to know in order for our democracy to function properly. Go ahead.
Are you troubled at all by John Conyers saying that it is not about jumping on the impeachment bandwagon?
No,
really?
I'm not troubled by that at all, because I think, number one, you don't want to start a fight. You don't want to, how can I put it, a significant percentage of voters could be turned off if the idea is just, if this can be portrayed as, we're going to get Bush and we don't care. Okay?
Why? Why? I mean, if they're the polls that are showing, that are out here now, that are asking people, if George Bush lied and gave a list of things, if George Bush did these things, do you think George Bush should be impeached?
And
compared
the polls say yes.
Yeah, the polls are saying yes. And I guess my concern about this is that John Conyers was leading the impeachment piece, and then Nancy Pelosi said, because she's with that whole DLC mentality, said we need to stop this because we don't want they're conceding before they even have victory.
I agree. Well, the DLC is a problem. That's a whole other conversation, okay? Not that we can have it now. But I think it is wise. I think it is wise not to say, you know, we're going to, not to say we have enough to impeach now.
But nobody's saying that we have enough to impeach, but impeachment should be, it's like...
No, I don't think impeachment is off the table.
But
that's not the point.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's off the table from the perspective of Nancy Pelosi saying that, oh, no, if we get elected, we're not going to pursue, we're not going to be looking at impeachment. So you're setting yourself up for, if you decide to do it, then you're going to be attacked for saying, well, you all said that you all weren't going to do that. Why would you take it off the table?
Well, as I think that Nancy Pelosi, although she is the leader of the House Dems, represents not the opinion of the majority of the Democrats in the Congress. And I think that the House, if the Democrats take over the House, okay?
But she's running for majority leader now, too.
Okay, if the Democrats take over the House, the House Judiciary Committee will be the one that determines that, not Nancy Pelosi.
I understand that. However, why would you take something off the table strategically that when a polled Americans, it's this whole timidity thing that is labeled that's attached to the Democratic Party. Y'all too scared to fight.
Liz,
y'all are unwilling to fight.
I don't disagree with you. I think you pointed out, as you said at the very beginning, that's part of the big problem with the DLC.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not disagreeing with that. But I guess the only thing I'm trying to say is that what Pelosi says, if the Democrats take over the House, and that's none of this is going to come about unless the Democrats do take over the House, okay, first of all. And I know you know that very well. But the point is that once the Democrats take over the House, these proceedings can happen, okay, these investigations can happen.
Only if they have the heart and they haven't closed the door to it. And I'm fearful. I am fearful, Kevin, that this is we haven't seen the Democrats fight in the end. They've had every opportunity to fight about everything. And I'm a firm believer that when people show you who they are, believe them. Okay, believe them. So I don't see that
I'm a thief, believe it.
Believe it. And if you've been scared to fight the obvious, Lord help us when you get into power and you don't have to fight the obvious.
I think your concern is, well, I understand your concern. I think because of people like John Conyers in the Congress, that's not going
to
happen.
That brings us back to the observation that I made when John Conyers, because Nancy Pelosi told him to back off the impeachment piece, he did. I am fearful for all of us.
I don't know. I guess you have some insights here that I don't think Conyers has backed off the impeachment.
There are
by
number.
Any means.
Well, check out blackcommentator.com.
Okay.
There have been a number of articles in there that have quoted him as saying that he was going to back up off of that because he was instructed to do so by the Democratic Party and Nancy Pelosi. Hence, he's saying right now, this isn't about an impeachment conversation. He was leading the charge. He's backed off.
Well, I think that it is prudent not to. I don't think it is prudent to have the air of impeachment hanging over your proceedings before the evidence is out that you can't impeach.
And I think that from a PR perspective and from drumming up the keying up the base and from a weakened president in the 30 percentile and climbing, you beat on things. You don't have to say, I am going to do it, but you certainly keep the possibility out there from a PR perspective and to take it off the table because you're skittish about whether or not you can prove it or not. I don't think that, particularly when we have an election coming up in November, why would you take something like that off the table when the polls are showing you that people are digging on it to begin with?
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it should. I hope I've been clear
yes,
on that.
Yes, you have.
I'm not saying that I think that it should have been taken off the table. But all I'm saying is that taking it or seemingly taking it off the table does not necessarily derail what would come out of the hearings. Because I think what could come out of the hearings, if the evidence is there, if the evidence is convincing, I don't see any way that they could do anything but impeach.
Well, I would agree with that, but for them showing me who they are, that they've been scared to take on the obvious, and if that have scared people appear to take
scared of the shadow,
and they've been scared to take on the obvious, but take on the obvious. So if they have scared to take on the obvious, if they appear to be taking something off the table, now I am not hopeful, nor do I believe that they are going to have the heart to take it on later.
Okay, well I guess I'm a little bit more when I say optimistic, I'm a bit more cautiously optimistic about that than you.
Well, I feel you, but that's certainly not optimistic for the Democrats. That's not a big thumbs up.
Well, it's not a big thumbs up, and I think your observations about the timidity of the Democratic Party are basically right on point.
All right.
The Democrats have been way too timid about most things, and if I had my so to speak, if I want to just make a broad overreaching generalization, if I would get rid of half the Democrats and replace them with somebody else because they are overly timid in so many ways.
And despite the most obvious openings and despite the most obvious wrongdoings, and we have to take a break. I'm talking to
Kevin. I had a feeling you were going to break.
Yep, it's about time for a break.
All
Kevin
right.
Sanders, this is Looking Black. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back.
Okay.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, indeed, are you going to get a washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, a stove? You know what? Make your house a home. Make your house a palace. And what happens when you go to the Sears at Union and Natural Bridge? You will experience the trifecta of the shopping experience. That's great prices, that's great location, and that's great customer service. I'm telling you, you're going to get deals you don't see anywhere else, and they're going to serve them to you on a golden platter. You need to get down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is former State Representative Betty L. Thompson. My life has been a pattern of challenges and historic firsts. You trusted me for years to make progressive decisions for you in University City. And then, as your state representative in Jefferson City, I know what it means to work to make a difference. I know when the time has come to make a change for the better. On Tuesday, August the 8th, I ask for your support of Sandy Colquist as state representative of the 72nd District. Sandy has shown that she cares about people and will work hard to make health care and education her number one priority. I need your help and your vote for Sandy Colquitt on August the 8th. Let's make a positive change and make Sandy Colquitt your next state representative for the 72nd District. This is former State Representative Betty L. Thompson, and it's time to start thinking about tomorrow.
Paid for by Colquitt for State Representative Vanessa Young, Treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Bill Haas, and I'm asking for your vote in the Democratic primary for state representative. For 8 years on the school board, I stood up for our children. Now I want to stand up for you in Jefferson City. I stand for the same values you do. Health care, senior citizens, tax relief, Medicaid, minimum wage, daycare, stopping racial profiling, and fair funding for Harris Stowe, where I teach. My opponent Rodney is my friend, and I love him like a brother. But he's a dog on the issues. He votes like a bad Republican. Even the unions won't support him. So if you're a Democrat, I should be your candidate. And I need your help to get elected. Don't do it for me. Do it for yourself. I'll make you proud every day, and I'll never let anything bad happen to you. Go to my website, runbillrun.com, to volunteer, and punch 33 to vote for Bill. That's me, Bill Haas, Tuesday, August 8th. Paid for by Bill Haas for State Rep. Francine Lamond's Treasurer.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, and differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Kevin Sanders this morning. And Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you.
We've talked about...
Let me say one more thing about what we just got through discussing.
Mm-hmm.
The possible, the Democrats and the matter of impeachment. I think that when Nixon was forced to resign, the House of Representatives, which was controlled by Democrats at the time, was going to vote for articles of impeachment. But I think that, you know, once again, I think that the way the House came to that position was not by, I don't think there was any predetermination that we were, that they were going to impeach Nixon. Let me say that. So I'd like to think that the same thing could be possible if the Democrats take over, okay?
Given what they have shown us about how they are and who they are, I don't believe it's going to happen. I think we've already been told what they are willing to do, and I guess that's what take. Can we move to this Joe Lieberman race in Connecticut as kind of like an indication of where the Democratic Party is going,
right,
or where the Democratic Party is? It's fascinating to me that when Bill Clinton was dispatched to Connecticut to help out Joe Lieberman.
He's a DLCer.
He's absolutely a DLC. But for the DLC, he wouldn't be the president. Wouldn't have been the president of the United States. But what we're seeing with the race out in Connecticut with Joe Lieberman is the left saying that, you know what, it is about this war, and it is about being an apologist for the Republican Party, and we don't care what the Democratic Party, because that same Democratic Party, Schumer, and all of those folks told Ned Lamont, you know, you shouldn't be in this race, and you need to get out of this race. And my concern is that even if Ned Lamont beats Joe Lieberman, and I believe that he will.
They'll whip him in the line?
Not only him, though, he won't have an impact.
Okay.
He's not numerically strong enough to have an impact into making the changes of the Democratic mindset. I've seen a few little middling signs out there that may maybe so. I've seen some signs that I've read that they're changing. A lot of these Democrats are now changing the media companies that have been giving them advice, the lobbyists that have been giving them advice. They're changing those companies. I'm hearing Hillary Clinton now trying to take a stance on taking on Donald Rumsfeld, but I think it's more for show and less a demonstration of what they're going to be willing to do if the Democrats take the leadership.
Well, I think your point about show, I think, is well taken, and I think that even applies more to the Republicans, because they grilled Donald Rumsfeld pretty well compared to the kids' gloves treatments that he and other people in the armed forces have been getting from the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I think the importance of Ned Lamont, of electing Ned Lamont, might be to get more, as he appears to be right now anyway, more progressive Democrats in the Congress, people along the lines of a Russ Feingold, people who have principles and principles along the line that progressive Democrats push. I think that might be an important thing, and it will also, I think, empower other Democrats. I will hopefully maybe empower other Democrats in the Congress to speak up.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting. With all of these opportunities to speak up on stuff and to get angry about things and to
reflect the opinion of the American public,
and to be,
I think what you were saying.
Well, not just to reflect what Americans say, but also to be the party of opposition as opposed to a party of accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing any of that in them, and it seems to be whenever we start to see some of it, it's because they have been pushed into it.
Right, or dragged into.
Yeah, kicking and screaming.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't disagree with the assessment that the Democrats have, compared to what they could have been doing, they haven't done it. I mean, it's just
so
pitiful.
Can we go back to Ohio for a second
and the gay
rock that is being thrown? So how are the papers taking? Are people taking this seriously, or is this one of these drip, drip, drip?
I think it's probably more of a drip, drip, drip. Simply because from what I understand, the Ohio Republican Party has come out and said, you know, this is not the type of thing that we're running on, so we disavow it. Okay, but nonetheless, obviously, that type of thing, if allowed to gain ground, would have an impact on certain voters, because both are pulling on, both Strickland and Blackwell have an appeal to the religious voters or the religiously inclined in Ohio.
Now, are people, is this unexpected where Blackwell finds himself at this point of the election?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this could just be the beginning.
No, I mean, in terms of the Ohio Republican Party.
Oh, you mean, was it anticipated that Blackwell be behind at this point?
Yeah, in double digits?
I don't, you know, if indeed he is behind in double digits, I don't, I can't say. I really don't know. I don't know.
And the reason that he is behind, because you said you didn't know exactly what the numbers
well,
are.
Well, he's behind.
Because, no.
Because the Ohio Republicans have been, because of the record, I mean, there's been scandal after scandal. I mean, the governor was convicted of an ethics violation and given basically a slap on the wrist. There have been Blackwell himself, the Secretary of State, was involved in very unsavory and very very suspicious behavior around the election, which of course led to George Bush being reelected. I mean, what Blackwell did during the election, one thing that he did was he tried to push that all voters, that all mail-in votes had to be done on a certain paperweight. It was just a number of different things that, you know, let's put it, that just made Blackwell, that I think showed Blackwell for who he really is, and basically just a partisan operative in the Republican Party, who's very interested, of course, in becoming the governor of Ohio.
And my question was, in terms of all of the things that Blackwell has done, was whether or not Ohio voters were buying that, because we a lot of folks, despite all of too many folks anyway, despite all of the things about Catherine Harris and what she did in Florida, and they stole the election, Jeb Bush was reelected. I was wondering if, in the minds of the Ohio voters, if the things about the criticisms and the wrongdoing and the suspicious behavior attributed to Blackwell, if it was sticking in the minds of the voters.
Well, I think part of the reason why Strickland might have a lead is in fact that those things have had an impact in the mind of Ohio voters. But on the other hand, I think Blackwell is going to make, and he has the endorsement of the religious right in Ohio, which is a very strong voting block.
Has he clung to Bush? Has Bush come down?
I think Bush is going to have a fundraiser. If he hasn't had one for him, I think Bush is scheduled to have a fundraiser for Blackwell.
Mm. And this is a November election.
I think so because
he doesn't have any. There's no primary, I guess, in Ohio, or he has
no. Democratic and
Republican
primary. Yeah, no, the primaries that were held already.
Okay.
Right. You know, these are the official candidates for the party.
So, in terms of other issues, we have 2 minutes here. Last thought of an issue that maybe we should be keeping our eye on.
What's that? Oh, you mean me?
Mm-hmm.
You mean for me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought I thought it was interesting. Oh, okay. Here's an issue right here. Okay. The New York Times came out with an editorial, "Fooling the Voters," in essence talking about the minimum wage law that the Republicans that are proposing, that'll be a $2.10 increase to be phased in over 3 years, but it also had what progressives are calling the Paris Hilton tax cut built into it.
Right.
So that's something I think to look at, because, you know, what Republicans obviously want to run on is say, well, we tried to pass the minimum wage law increase, but the Democrats were against it.
Well, it turns out that the Senate voted on that last night, and the Senate said no to it, so it's dead in the water, and they're off on their month-long vacation.
There you go.
So it's going to be a very interesting election season. Kevin Sanders, thank you so much for joining me on Looking Black this morning.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I hope you enjoy the weather down there in hot St. Louis.
Yes, I'm going to deal with it anyway.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I'll be back to take your calls, questions, and comments in the next hour. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Who nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound
that the below made. I see, I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers, how can this end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man.
Matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Louise Schiavone. There may be a major break in the serial shooter cases that have plagued the Phoenix or Arizona metropolitan area for more than a year. At least two people have been taken into custody for questioning. Reporter Lisa Volenick says it's one of two serial killing cases.
One is called the serial shooter. He's responsible, he or she is responsible for 36 shootings, 6 murders. We also have what's known as the baseline killer. He seems to target women responsible for 8 murders and dozens of other assaults and robberies, also dating back a year ago.
Reporter Lisa Volenick in Phoenix. New signs the economy is slowing down.
July was not a good month for job seekers. The economy added a smaller than expected 113,000 jobs last month. And surprising the experts, the unemployment rate rose 0.2% to 4.8%, the highest level since last February. On the plus side, average hourly earnings were up 0.4% for the second month in a row.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. The U.S. Senate has followed the House of Representatives home for the rest of August without passing a minimum wage increase. Democrats blocked the bill because Republicans attached an estate tax cut, a big tax break for the rich, to the minimum wage bill. The current $5.15 an hour minimum wage has not been changed in a decade. In the Middle East, Israel has intensified its airstrikes in Lebanon, hitting the Christian heartland north of Beirut for the first time since the start of the war.
The Israeli Defense Force released cockpit video. Beyond Beirut, dozens of airstrikes in eastern and southern Lebanon. And this morning, at least 4 bridges on the coastal highway north of Beirut were bombed. All major roads into Beirut have now been hit.
ABC's Kate Snow in Beirut. Secretary of State Rice is expressing support for an immediate ceasefire. This is ABC News.
Top 3 reasons I'm getting organized. Number 3, the only space in my bedroom is on my bed, and I'm not giving that up. Number 2, I should be able to fit at least one car in the 2-car garage. And number 1, getting organized just got a lot easier.
Organize your home for less at the Home Depot Summer Storage Event. From garage storage systems to adjustable bookshelves to the latest colorful totes and accessories, it's storage as decor at special prices. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Barry Bonds' 715th home run has fetched 6 figures. ABC's Daniela Bellotta has details.
Andrew Morbitzer, who caught the ball, selling it on eBay.
Potentially, if the ball brings in enough money, we'll have a down payment on a house. And if not, it'll at least be the beginnings of a down payment on a house in San Francisco.
He was hoping for $100,000. It sold for just over $200,000, bought by Mark Chase, the owner of several high-end new car dealerships in California and Nevada, who plans to put it on display at his Silicon Valley Bentley dealership. While it fetched 6 figures, it's a far cry from what Mark McGuire's then record-breaking 70th home run ball sold for. It went for $3 million. Daniela Bellata, ABC News.
It's that time of year again in the lunar calendar for the Hungry Ghost Festival, widely observed in Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, and Malaysia. Taoists and Buddhists believe that for the coming month, the gates of hell open and the dead walk among the living. I'm Louise Schiavone, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, an Overland man is awaiting sentencing for a murder last year. A St. Louis County jury found Wendell Adams guilty yesterday of the murder of Nadia Whitmore. The 28-year-old woman's body was found in her burned SUV last January in the parking lot of the Overland Plaza Shopping Center. Investigators say Adams met Whitmore at a nightclub before killing her. Opponents of Missouri's new voter ID law hope to strike it down with a lawsuit. According to the Jefferson City News Tribune, the group Give Missourians a Raise joined the suit yesterday because they claim some people who support their cause won't be able to vote under the ID requirements. The suit alleges that the law imposes unfair costs on people trying to get a photo ID and harms poor, elderly, disabled, and black voters. New nationwide restrictions on the sale of meth-making components will help Missouri law enforcement officers in their battle against methamphetamine. That's according to Congressman Russ Carnahan, who spoke at a meth conference in Jefferson County yesterday.
Now that we have a federal law in place restricting access, we've seen much improvement. I think they said about a 25% drop.
Carnahan is hopeful about additional federal funding available to Jefferson County because of its recent designation as a high-density drug trafficking area. Members of area narcotics units, local police chiefs, juvenile officers, and prosecutors also attended the conference. Finally this hour, the Cardinals turn to their Cy Young Award winner tonight in hopes of stopping their seven-game losing streak. Chris Carpenter will take the mound at Busch Stadium in a 7-10 start against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cards ace is 10-5 with a 2.83 ERA, but is looking to rebound from a loss to the Cubs in his last start. The Brewers send southpaw Doug Davis to the hill. He is 6-6 with an ERA of 5.02. The Cardinals have struggled against left-handed starters this season, posting a record of 16-24. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Chamberlain College of Nursing. Have you heard? Deaconess is now Chamberlain College of Nursing. Chamberlain offers ASN and BSN nursing degree programs and a fast-track RN to BSN degree completion program. See chamberlain.edu. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. The Eads Bridge will be closing again at noon for the city's Live on a Levee celebration. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant. Look for heavy volume going on there as well. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44 slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at 55 and Laclede's Landing looks good at this hour. Westbound 64, the congestion is cleared up now. Eads Bridge is flowing freeway into downtown. Northbound Route 3 onto the ramp is still slow onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge. And that's basically due to the fact westbound 5570 onto the PSB, you've got road construction. They are paving. Left lane is closed and traffic is slowing approaching 4th Street. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic. Drive into Sonic today for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips, spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Mostly sunny, high around 90 today, mostly clear, low around 70 this evening. Mostly sunny Saturday, mostly sunny with a high around 90. Saturday evening, mostly clear again, low in the lower 70s. Then Sunday starts to get hot, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-90s with the heat index rising to around 102 by the afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding at 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Whew. We have an amazing races coming up on Tuesday. It's so important for you all to get out there. It's so important for you all to know that even though this is an August 8th race, and even though this is an off-year, off-election race, they're still critical. Sometimes folks hide critical issues on the ballot during this time, hoping that you are distracted with your life and waiting for the presidential race. If I could get into every public school in America, I would have a course on why voting is important and not in the presidential race. We are all taught. And you can see the successfulness of that successfulness. You can see how successful that educational process is. We are taught that the presidential election is the most important one. The presidential election is the most important one, and that's where people are. That's where people are in these presidential. They come out and they vote in the presidential races, but they don't come out and vote the same way in school board races. They don't come out and vote the same way in state rep races or state senate races or on proposition races. Largely, a lot of folks don't, because you have been taught that the most important thing, the only reason that you vote, is for president. And if I could get into every school in America, that would be my lesson, that you need to, how all politics is local. Sure, the president matters. But Jesus God, look at how your life and your community has been destroyed when Francis Slay's board took over the Board of Education. So, you know, all politics is local. You look at this race that in U City. You listen to people. It's astounding to me. And it is inexplicable to me how people can look past crime doesn't matter, how people will look past anything to get to their goal of money. The All Children Matter people have had their money on and have had their energy in Sandy Colquitt, despite the fact that Sandy Colquitt has done something that I don't know of. I don't know that anybody can ever say this before, that you have a candidate that is charged with a crime, charged with a crime while they're running for office, served with papers while they're running for office, given a court date while they're running for office, and convicted all before they're elected. I don't know that this has ever happened before. And you have people coming out here talking about how she's going to take care of the children. Sweetie, you're already convicted of lying before you are elected. We have a person who wants to be an elected official that is convicted of lying, charged with lying, convicted, served papers for going to court for trial for lying, court date while she's running for office about her lying. She doesn't show up for the court date. And then she's convicted all before she's elected into office. All before. Lord, what people will do for money. And there are people out there that are actually supporting this chick? Y'all need to have a heads up on this. That's the 411. That's the 911. Bump 411. You've been given the information, and you should now know it's an emergency. Lord, if you don't believe me, you can go to colquittunfit.com. That's colquittunfit.com. I'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This is Kenneth Jones, candidate for 4th District State Senator. Governor Blunt and the right-wing Republican state legislature recently passed a so-called voter identification bill. This bill will deprive us of our right to vote. When you elect me state senator, I will fight them in the state legislature and organize our community to remove them at the ballot box. Remember to punch number 28 on August 8th for Kenneth Jones for state senator.
Paid for by Citizens for Jones, Margot Deloche, treasurer.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, treasurer.
Every day in Jefferson City, someone tries to convince you that what you believe in cannot be done, should not be done, and will not be done. What I have learned serving as your state representative is that it is not just about your positions. It is also about your heart. Do you have the heart to fight and succeed? I believe that my record demonstrates that I do. I fought against a school voucher campaign funded by out-of-state billionaires, and we won. I took a principled stance on restoring health care benefits for people with disabilities. I was the only Democratic freshman last year that actually got legislation passed. I was able to secure $2.7 million for the Missouri Arts Council. My name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. No matter how many people in Jefferson City tell me it cannot be done, I will not stop fighting for you. My heart won't let me.
Hello, this is Joseph Palm, candidate for State Representative 57th District. More experience in government than anyone in this race. More education than anyone in this race. And the only elected Democrat in this race. Don't settle for anything but the Palm. Punch 29 on Tuesday, August 8th. For more information, visit my website, joepalm.com.
When you vote for Palm, you're in good hands.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, treasurer.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head. For you.
Well,
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, you've heard that saying, politics makes strange bedfellows. Now, this lies between Betty L. Thomas, and Colquitt. That's a good example of strange bedfellows.
Why do you say that?
Because last time she supported Maria Chappelle Nadal, mm-hmm. which is, in her term, she has been for the people in her district and the children all over Missouri. And she stands for what we're looking for in a politician, somebody who will speak truth to power and try to work for her constituents.
You're talking about Maria Chappelle Nadal.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And why wouldn't Betty L. Thomas support her, somebody who's proven herself?
Well, I guess money doesn't make a strange bedfellow because, I mean, that's money. That's money for people that are in Betty Thompson's circle, her former a staff worker, a dozer, has gotten all kinds of money from, although she's not getting the same money that the white people that work for All Children Matters, but I guess that's good enough for them. It's about money. It's about money. Money can make folks just change some folks. Money can make some folks change in a dime.
And this is a good example.
Just the credibility factor of it. How can you bring to the constituents a convicted liar? I mean, this is a person that was charged, served, tried, convicted, all while she's running for office for lying.
And know that this person shouldn't even be on the ballot.
That is correct. But yet, why are you pushing this person so hard? Because the voucher people want her.
Strange bedfellows. But what I called about is I think that people, I mean, they've mostly made up their mind who they're going to vote for. But we got to worry about voter fraud. Because I noticed that in the April election, this optical scan, I mean, it wasn't working. The machine wasn't working. And there's people at these polling places that have keys, and they opened up the machine and put the ballots inside of the machine. Now, that is totally irregular. So if they can do that, they can open up the machines and finagle with the ballots. So that's what we got to worry about. It's cheating.
We have to worry about getting to the polls.
And
that's why it is so important. If people are going to run these races with all of the voting machine irregularities and the ability for tampering, you got to win by a whole lot. Close races are going to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Close races are going to be lost.
And another thing, some people, I know this person that asked me this question is very intelligent. She said that she wouldn't be able to vote because she didn't have this voter ID card or any other kind of picture ID. And I told her this. I was under the assumption that didn't take effect, if it ever takes an effect, until November.
That is correct.
That is correct.
And
I know she thinks that. There must be others that think that.
Wow. All right.
So I'm going to put out the public service announcement as often as I can that you can vote now without that so-called voter ID.
All right. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Torfell.
How are you this morning?
I am outstanding. How are you?
I'm overstanding.
Overstanding. All right.
Look, I agree with you so much about what you said about local politics. That's where the true power base is.
Mm-hmm.
People need to realize that if I can touch and feel you, I have a better opportunity to control you. In a sense that if I'm going to vote for you, and I know where you live and you know where I live, and I'm watching you, then there's a possibility that you're going to do exactly what you say you're going to do.
I can get in my truck any day of the week and drive up to Jefferson City. I can sit there and watch what you're doing. Who's driving to Washington, D.C. to try to watch something that George Bush is doing?
Right.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
There's too many obstacles to even get close enough to really see. And then, you know,
you
got the big hidden room that they have below the White House where they sit and meet and caucus about all kinds of stuff we never hear about.
Absolutely.
But that person that's in Jeff City has to come home sometime.
Not only has to come home, I can go see you.
That's true.
Okay, I can go up into the Capitol and walk straight into my state rep's office.
That's right.
So politics is local. We can touch, we can feel, we can make our presence felt on these folks.
And
politics is local.
Nationwide can stem from that.
So absolutely.
We've got to really solidify the power here, locally, first.
Fact.
That's all I have to say.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And I wish that I had had more time this morning to talk to the one caller who was calling with their concern about Yaphet Elamine. And hopefully I can paraphrase what they were saying earlier, because we ran out of time, and I wish that we hadn't run out of time. She was taking exception to my assessment of Yaphet Elamine's dynasty building, and saying, and I believe she was making the point that we have had other so-called dynasties, and we have done well. She used as an example Congressman Clay and his son. She made the observation of the Carnahans, and I don't remember if she said a third one, but those are the two that I remember her making the observation about. And this was as a result of my observation and stated concern, and she stated concern about the dynasty that is being attempted to be built by the Elamines. And the dynasty in the sense of they are now committee woman. Now they want to be senator and state representative all at one time. And the caller, I believe, raised the question of, well, Troop was the committee man and the state representative. And I would add that Paula Carter was the state representative and the committee person. And right now, currently in my ward, Connie Johnston is the state representative and the committee woman. Paula Carter was the committee woman. So I oppose that. I don't think that legislators should serve both offices. I think that we do need a diversity of people in offices. And I think that it is even worse. It is unprecedented worse. The concentration of power that we are seeing in this particular, in this Elamine effort, that the concentration of power is a husband, a wife. Wife wants to be senator, husband wants to be rep, and they're both committee people. That's too much power in one place. The community is not well served by having one person like that in the role of this. It's not a good idea. I understand some strategical advantages that can occur out of a state rep being a committee person. I can understand that. But four in one place, four offices in one family at one time, it's too much. Four offices in one family at one time for one community is too much. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Charles Quincy Troop, good morning.
Good morning. I just like to shed a little light on this issue. You know, you go all the way back to, let's just start at the top of the food chain.
All right.
You start with Congressman Clay.
Oh, well, you know what? We're taking a break. Let me put you on hold.
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Liz Brown. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Jeep dealer. The Eads Bridge will be closing again today at noon for the city's Live on the Levee project. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and 270, expect normal traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry all the way through 44. Look for slow traffic going on there. In northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, those ramps are slow. Westbound 5570, on, you've got road construction, left lanes closed, and traffic jams approaching 4th Street, so that's affecting all your approaches into downtown. There's a number of other road construction sites that are going on. Just use caution and slow down through the work zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Jeep dealer. With Jeep, experience the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on most Jeep vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Mostly sunny, high around 90 this evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Saturday, mostly sunny once again, high around 90. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Sunday, hot, partly cloudy, high in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 102 by Sunday afternoon, so just use caution as you go outside. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 9 o'clock hour.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else indeed are you going to be able to shop for your home inside and out? And you're going to do it right in your own neighborhood at Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, where else? Great deals, great location, and incredible customer service. Jerome Williams will treat you like the king and the queen that you are. Come on down to Sears. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shopping, when you get that new refrigerator, that new stove, that new washer, dryer, get it at Sears and tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, this is Joseph Palm, candidate for State Representative 57th District. More experience in government than anyone in this race. More education than anyone in this race. And the only elected Democrat in this race. Don't settle for anything but the Palm. Punch 29 on Tuesday, August 8th. For more information, visit my website, joepalm.com.
When you vote for Palm, you're in good hands.
Paid for by Palm for 57th. Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, and I'm running for state representative in the 60th District. Are you tired of the politicians that only come around when they need your vote? Politicians that care more about serving themselves and their family members than the interests of the people. Politicians that use eminent domain to take people's homes. On Tuesday, August 8th, the power will be in your hands. You can make a change by voting for me, Jamila Nasheed. I don't only talk the talk, I walk the walk. As your next state representative, I will fight for a livable wage, better schools, job opportunities for our community, and I will also protect homeowners from eminent domain. I will hold regular meetings and return phone calls. That is my pledge to you. On Tuesday, August 8th, fill in number 38 on your ballot. Vote for Jamila Nasheed. A voice for the voiceless.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jamila Nasheed, Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
Fill in 38.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
I ran away today, ran from the noise, ran away. Don't want to go back to that place, but don't have no choice, no way.
I don't want love to destroy me like it did my mom.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Can't we work it out? This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. Charles Quincy Troop.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I was listening to this comment in terms of being a committee person and being a state rep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Congressman Clay was a committeeman while he was a congressman.
While he was a congressman?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Ray Howard was a committeeman and a senator. Senator Banks was a committeeman.
Mm-hmm.
And a senator. Paula Carter was a senator.
That I knew.
Committeewoman.
Lewis
Ford, state rep and committeeman.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Payne out of the 4th Ward was a committeeman and a senator. Then you had Maida Coleman, who's a committeewoman. You got Connie Johnson, a committeewoman. You got Jaffet,
mm-hmm.
who's a committeewoman. You got Roddy Hubbard, who's a committeeman.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of town, you have Kennedy Gambaro, used to be a state rep and a committeeman. Roboto was, Cracky was, or is, Ronnie R. Was,
mm-hmm.
And still a committeeman. Russell Garwood over here was a committeeman and state rep. Then you had Conley that was in the 22nd Ward, and I think Leroy Tyus was also a state rep for a short period of time, being a committeewoman, and this goes on and on. But I never appointed a family member to any elected position or ran a family member for any elected position in my ward or in my area.
Mm.
So that is the difference. I understand the need and the benefit of having a committee person as a state rep, because you're at the state level of government and you're sitting there with all of these statewide officials and you have influence on them because you are a committee man or committee person and you influence whether they're going to get in office. So it gives you some extra clout as a state level.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the first ward in particular, I had talked to Yaffet about this issue, and she had honestly indicated that we would sit down after the election and look at how we was going to do this thing. They had already agreed to concede those positions if they were elected prior to the election.
Well, that's not what she told me.
I'm telling you that's what he also indicated.
And I'm telling you that conversation that I had with Yaffet El-Amin, because I asked her that direct question, Quincy. I asked her that direct question, and she did not tell me that they would concede. That is not what she said at all. She said, we'll consider that. But
well,
she certainly...
Time will tell. But, I mean, I'm telling you what they told me, and she told this to me very recently as well, because it was an issue with me. It still is an issue with me.
You understand the point that I'm making, don't you, Quincy, in terms of...
I understand the point.
It is problematic to have this kind of power in one family. And I'm not comfortable with the idea of a state rep and a state senator.
Well, I've got a problem with it, and I've indicated that. But, it, you know...
And with respect to Amber Boykin, I'm supporting
Jamila. Well, Boykin was a state rep and a committeewoman.
Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about that. She's not a committeewoman.
I'm just saying.
I'm talking about state rep, her husband is also running. But I think Jamila is going to win that race. So I'm not as concerned about this one. I'm concerned about the possibility over here with the El-Amins. And I think that is very problematic.
Well, you know, time is the schoolmaster that teaches us all.
Yeah, but some lessons are lessons that we shouldn't have to have, because if you know your history, you can predict what time is going to do.
In hindsight, I think if they had to do it all over again, they would do it differently.
I don't know if we can say that, because if somebody asks you that direct question, Troop, I wasn't given the answer that you were given, and that's problematic to me. So I don't know if someone would do it differently.
Well, you know, I mean, you got a lot of dynamics. I agree with you in that I don't agree with the
with the idea of that kind of a dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
But you have, when you look at dynasties, we have them all over the black and white community.
But not like this. This is a different.
This would be a first.
Because we're not talking about. We're talking
about.
This
is a first.
This is a first, and we're talking about what you're talking and referring to are legacies where someone runs after their father retires or their mother retires. This is a concentration of power that has never existed before, and it's a first. And it was Yaphet that appointed her husband to the committeemanship, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm really concerned. I am really concerned about the willingness and the desire for this kind of concentration of family power.
Well, I'm opposed to that, too, and that's why I'm not supporting her husband.
Mm-hmm. Supporting Talon.
No, but I support her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Truth. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that. You can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Or if you want to, call me long distance, that would be 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to attend to. This election will be over on Tuesday. It will be over on Tuesday, and we will be up and running. I was stunned, I have to say. No, stunned isn't the right word. Infuriated this morning when I heard Jeff Smith say out his mouth that he's going to eliminate the racial issues in the city of St. Louis by ignoring them, by saying that there aren't any racial differences. And then, you know, and then that was a remarkable statement given from a dude who says that he has a degree in black studies. And his degree in black studies, you know, where'd you get your degree from? Bob Jones University? You get a Bob Jones degree in black history? You have a degree in black history, and out of all of that education, you came out with the philosophy that there aren't any differences, and I'm going to run an election because there aren't any differences between black people and white people. That's what your degree taught you. And that's not the part that infuriated me. The part that infuriated me was when he said in my ear, I'm not running a different, and to prove I don't see any difference between black people and white people, I'm running the same campaign in North St. Louis as I am in South St. Louis. You a tale. You a lie, and the truth ain't in you. I know for a fact you didn't send Driving While Black literature to South St. Louis. I know you didn't, as a fact, you didn't send literature full of black people saying Jeff Smith is better to our community than your mama, your daddy, your grandma, anybody. He's better to the black community than anybody that's ever existed. Better done more for the black community. Huh. Huh. I know you didn't send that literature south, so you a lie and the truth ain't in you. And I am particularly incensed by a person outside of my community, carpetbagging into my community, lying to the face of my citizens, touting this failing Confluence Academy, and saying that's good enough for black people, it's good enough for black folks to introduce a failing charter school. It's good enough for black folks. That's all that you can expect to have, you know, that's all y'all can expect to have is a failing charter school. I'm a pretty idiot. But inside, I'm going to fill it with white, inexperienced, non-certified teachers. And I'm not going to care that the kids are not, the kids are doing hugely worse than St. Louis public school kids are. And I'm going to lie to black folks and say, it's all good. You're lying, the truth ain't in you. And I fear for our community when a person of that mindset and that ability comes to town and tries to get elected, carpet bags into our town. Mary.
Yes, I was going to call this morning and ask if you had seen or how many people had seen that mailer with Charles Quincy True on there with Yaphet El Amin.
I haven't gotten that one.
Yeah, well, I got it. And I said, but I had a question for him, and I can't ask him now, but he came on. I said, boy, if I could just get through, and I could ask him while he was talking.
Okay, what's the question? Because maybe he'll call back.
Yeah, the question is, I know there, well, this is the point. I know there are dynamics that enter into any race and why people run and what they support and what they do not support.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want for the children, and if she was against the vouchers, she's for the vouchers, well, I just wonder how truth could support her.
Mm.
And that's my question. And I was going, I was going to call his office. I didn't. I said, well, I'm going to call and ask. But when I got the mail, I just said, well, let me just go on and call.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get it in. And then he called. And so that's why I'm calling now. So
okay. Well, maybe he'll call back. Yeah, maybe he will. Okay. Thanks.
Maybe, if not this right now, but maybe next hour. Or something.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But we will
see. Thanks.
Thank
okay.
you.
All right,
all right, Mary.
Bye.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break, I believe. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Call 602-1047. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Washington. There's word today that the National Security Agency is providing intelligence to Israel to help them find out if Syria and Iran are providing weaponry to Hezbollah. The Bush administration has approved of this arrangement, and the push for it has come from Vice President Cheney's national security staff, who seem to be encouraged about expanding Israel's fight against Hezbollah and Hamas into four hot fronts. And Dateline Singapore. The former Prime Minister of Malaysia is calling upon the international community to stop using American dollars and British pound sterlings in order to pressure those two countries to influence Israel to stop its attack against Lebanon. Mahathir Mohamad says that the recent military action would not have been possible without the support and collusion of the United States and Britain. Mohamad, in particular, is urging oil-producing countries to use other currency besides the dollar to rein in the American influence on this entire matter. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is former State Representative Betty L. Thompson. My life has been a pattern of challenges and historic firsts. You trusted me for years to make progressive decisions for you in University City. And then, as your state representative in Jefferson City, I know what it means to work to make a difference. I know when the time has come to make a change for the better. On Tuesday, August the 8th, I ask for your support of Sandy Colquitt as state representative of the 72nd District. Sandy has shown that she cares about people and will work hard to make health care and education her number one priority. I need your help and your vote for Sandy Colquitt on August the 8th. Let's make a positive change and make Sandy Colquitt your next state representative for the 72nd District. This is former State Representative Betty L. Thompson, and it's time to start thinking about tomorrow.
Paid for by Colquitt for State Representative Vanessa Young, Treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hello.
I'm Talabdin T.D. Alameen, candidate for state representative in Missouri's 57th District. Now I'm committed to health care for all Missourians. I will strongly advocate for the restoration of Medicaid benefits that were eliminated for more than 100,000 Missourians. I will support the strengthening of our educational system by fighting for the resources for our children and teachers to succeed in the classroom. I will work to continue to advocate for the inclusion of minorities, women, and disadvantaged business enterprises in the 57th District. I am committed to community stabilization. I will work with the ultimate goal of empowering our community by expanding on our senior home repair programs, gang abatement programs, and work readiness programs. I pledge to be a strong, unwavering voice that will not compromise our community's interests. On August the 8th, I ask for your support by punch number 30 for common sense leadership you can trust. To get involved, please call 454-9035.
Paid for by the community elect, Elamine 57. Lizzie Bastain, Treasurer.
This is Representative Amber Holly Boykins, candidate for State Senate 4th District. For 8 years, I have fought to protect funding for public education while sponsoring legislation that moves our district towards full accreditation. My strong commitment to our children has earned me the endorsement of AFT Local 420 Teachers Union and the Missouri Association of School Administrators. Other legislators sponsor legislation supporting charter schools and vouchers. I will continue to protect public education. August 8th, fill-in number 26 for Amber Holly Boykins.
Paid for by friends of Amber H. Boykins, Pam Butler, Treasurer.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. It seems like the weather is getting a little bit cooler, but it's supposed to. We're just supposed to have like a maybe a 30-second little break here. It's going to get down to 60, but it's going to shoot right back up to 90. Explain how that works. So I want to just give some few tips out here because even though the power is back on, people's homes are hot, and I worry about our seniors out here. Sometimes people tell things to our seniors or try to convince them of things that aren't true out here. And there are some urban legends, if you will, or some thoughts out there about what you're supposed to do in the heat. And one of the things that I just want to remind people of, the way that you stay cool out here is you keep your air conditioner on all the time. There are some folks that have told folks that, well, if you turn, you only turn the air conditioner on when the sun goes off. That's problematic for insofar as your bill is concerned. That is hugely problematic insofar as your health is concerned. You keep the temperature in your house constant, because if you don't, if you let your house heat up to 100 degrees during the day, think of all of the energy that it is going to take to cool your house down at night. And your house won't get cooled down all the way at night because air has not been running long enough to do that. And you're putting a strain on your heart. You're putting a strain on your health because you're changing the climate that you live in very drastic ways. Keep your air conditioner on. Your air conditioner needs to stay on all of the time. And keep the constant air flowing, particularly for our seniors. This is deadly heat out here. This is deadly, deadly, deadly heat out here. And you can't play with your heart. You can't play with your health. You've got to create an environment for yourself that is one that is sensitive to
and accommodating to the temperature. And I've gotten a number of questions from folks that have asked me, so I wanted to address this. A number of seniors have had family members, or a number of seniors have had folks out here or contacted me themselves about, I've heard that you're only supposed to turn your air conditioner on when the sun goes down. Absolutely not. Please keep your air conditioner on. Keep your heat, your air consistent, so that it's not a strain on the bottom line of your pocketbook, and also, more importantly, on your health. And sometimes the other piece of it is that sometimes the heat sneaks up on you during the day. You're kind of like a frog cooking in water. You know, you stay in the pot, you put a frog in the cool water, doesn't jump out. You keep the low heat going. He stays in there because he doesn't realize that the heat's cooking him until it's too late. That's the same with us. You got to keep the air on all the time. Please, please, please keep the air on all the time, because it's so bad for you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, this weekend, lots of stuff going on. This weekend, I am going to be on a panel discussion here in the city of St. Louis for the Missouri Black Expo. That's right, the Missouri Black Expo. That's right, the Missouri Black Expo. This Saturday, that's tomorrow. Today's Friday already. That's tomorrow from 3:30 to 6:30. I'm really excited. Dr. Joyce Lynn Elders is going to be on the panel. I've had her on the show a couple of times. She's going to be on the panel in St. Louis to talk about the state of Black America. It's going to be a spirited discussion. It's going to be a very, very spirited discussion. The state of Black America today. This is the UMSL, University of Missouri, St. Louis lecture series. The keynote speaker is going to be Joseph Lowery. He's the man that spoke truth to power when George W. Bush was had the noive. Yeah, that's a technical legal term, noive, to come to the funeral of Coretta Scott King. He and his daddy who had him spied on. Come to the funeral, and Dr. Joseph Lowery spoke to that in front of his face. He's going to be the keynoter at this State of Black America lecture series. Dr. Joyce and Elders is going to be there. It's going to be a very rousing, very exciting conversation. You don't want to miss it. That's this Saturday at the America Center Black Expo from 3:30 to 6:30 tomorrow. And don't forget that tomorrow also is the Urban Institute. That's right, the Urban Institute at 9 o'clock. The address, what's the address? 1020 North Taylor. You need to come on down to the Urban Institute every Saturday. Our organization is beginning the process of creating an entity that will collectively collaborate and address the political issues that confront our community. We need an organization. We need an organization that will keep tabs on our elected officials, that will raise the concerns of our community. It's a think tank. It's a discussion. It is us coming together and creating the thing that doesn't exist in this town, the political structure of an entity that is all about the politics and the social condition of our community. From a political perspective, we have some great, we have some wonderful organizations out there, and we hope to join them in some of them in their longevity of the contributions that they have made. Urban Institute meets every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be right back at you after the top of the hour.
Revolution in the air, tell me, brother. Talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother. Talk to me, sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody.
give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Luis Schiavone. The fighting continues as Israel expands its airstrikes to areas north of Beirut and southern Lebanon. The fighting rages on. ABC's Vic Ratner has more from Jerusalem.
There's no sign of any let-up in the ground offensive. No expectation here in Jerusalem of any ceasefire anytime soon. The Israeli military command says it controls more than 20 villages north of the Lebanese border. But heavy fighting in the area continues.
ABC's Vic Ratner reporting from Jerusalem. The conflict reverberates around the world and embattled Baghdad. Thousands of young Shiite men filled the streets in a demonstration denouncing the Jewish state, the United States, and pledging their support for Hezbollah. British Prime Minister Tony Blair is putting his Caribbean holiday plans on hold to stay at home to work on a Lebanese peace plan. ABC's Tom Rivers has details in London.
Concluding that lying on the beach while people are being blown up in Lebanon may send the wrong political message, Tony Blair is staying put in London, at least for now, to work the phone and help to establish a workable UN ceasefire resolution. Blair has taken a lot of domestic heat for siding with President Bush in resisting calls for an immediate cessation of the bloodletting.
ABC's Tom Rivers in Washington. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is signaling the U.S. wants a ceasefire in Lebanon, moving the U.S. closer to the position embraced by France and other European countries. There may be a major break in one of the serial shooter cases plaguing Phoenix for more than a year. At least two people are in police custody for questioning. Lisa Valenik in Phoenix reports.
The news that there is suspects in custody is going to bring certainly a sigh of relief to the public, but you can't forget we still have another serial killer out there, a person responsible for 8 murders and dozens of other crimes also dating back to a year ago.
That serial shooter case, one of 2 major cases under investigation. This is ABC News.
Top 3 reasons I'm getting organized. Number 3, the only space in my bedroom is on my bed, and I'm not giving that up. Number 2, I should be able to fit at least 1 car in the 2-car garage. And number 1, getting organized just got a lot easier.
Organize your home for less at the Home Depot Summer Storage Event. From garage storage systems to adjustable bookshelves to the latest colorful totes and accessories, it's storage as decor at special prices. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish!
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Start your engines. Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, starring Will Ferrell, opens today.
Come on, go and fire!
Yes!
Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly are burning rubber in Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Ferrell is Bobby, a NASCAR champ who faces a big challenge when a gay Frenchman played by Sacha Baron Cohen, better known as Ali G, shows up.
I am coming for you, Ricky Bobby.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, I want to thank you for my family. And, of course, my red-hot smoking wife, Carly.
Bobby strips to his skivvies, running onto the track.
Out of fire! You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby!
Get ready for a hilarious ride. Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby takes the checkered flag. 3 stars. Bill Deal, ABC News.
Europe is coping with punishing heat, too. The French government is saying that 112 people have died due to the heat in the hottest July since 1950, the toll lower than a killer heat wave 3 summers ago. I'm Louise Schiavone, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ryansmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the Metro West Fire Protection District wants to increase awareness about water safety. Yesterday, the department held a water rescue training session at Castlewood State Park, the site where 5 children drowned last month.
The kids would have had this on last month. None of this probably would have happened. They would have had a neat story to tell about their day in the river, but this tragedy probably would have been avoided just by the simple fact of having some sort of a life jacket on.
That's Metro West Battalion Chief Bud Mantle. Metro West holds these training sessions twice a year. Deerberg's is recalling fresh ground chuck sold at its Ellisville store. The recall affects packages of ground chuck with a sell-by date of August 3rd, sold at the Clarkson Clayton Center location. Small pieces of metal quips used to secure bulk meat may have made it into some of the individual packages. Customers can return the packages to the store for a refund. The chairman of the St. Louis City Election Board will become Governor Matt Blunt's new chief of staff. Blunt appointed Ed Martin to replace outgoing chief of staff Ken McClure, who resigned to become the new associate vice president for administrative services at Missouri State University. Martin takes over the post on September 1st. Finally this hour, the Rams will get back to work with a 9:30 practice this morning that is free and open to the public at Rams Park. Cornerback safety Ron Bartel suffered a sprained ankle in yesterday's workout, and it is unknown when he will return to action. Meanwhile, defensive end Leonard Little returned to practice yesterday after missing 2 days with the flu. Head coach Scott Linehan said the defense performed well, but the offense looked sloppy in yesterday's workout. The Rams will hold a scrimmage at 10:15 tomorrow morning in Earth City. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Eckert's Orchard. Nobody knows fresh peaches like Eckert's, so bring the whole family to Eckert's to pick your own or buy them fresh picked at Eckert's Country Store. Eckert's in Belleville, where fun is always in season. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Shell Oil. The Eads Bridge will be closing at noon today for the city's Live on the Levee celebration. All your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge are starting to ease up this hour. However, westbound lanes are reduced to 3 lanes as you have paving operations going on. There are a number of construction projects going on in the city, the county, and St. Charles County, as well as the Metro East. So just use caution as you roll through those construction zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Shell Oil. Right now, your engine has friction, which is causing heat and can rob your engine of performance. Fight back with new and improved Slick 50V engine treatment. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 90. This evening, mostly clear, low around 70. Saturday, mostly sunny, high around 90. And Sunday, hot, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 102 by the afternoon. Currently, we have 73 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. Take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me brothers, tell me sisters.
give it to you. You were born with power.
Of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I see I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Do not forget that we are broadcast live. We're streamed on the net at WGNU.net. And if you've missed an hour, that's quite all right. You can go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org, where the show is archived on a daily basis. I'm looking at the front pages of the paper. It's almost as if we need to just we need double space in our paper or a new name for newspapers. We need to just call them the War Watch. And as horrible as I hope to God that it is not true, but it feels like what is going on in Lebanon is almost a and this is so twisted to say this. It's almost like it's a PR effort to distract, PR effort with the twisted, wicked goal of distracting folks. Look at death over here. Look at murder over here. Look at war over here. And don't watch the other war that is going on. And the death and the destruction and the murder that is going on there. Top U.S. generals warn about the threat of Iraq civil war. Sweetie, it's no threat. The civil war has been here. We have a civil war that is going on in Iraq. John Kerry spoke out yesterday on the Senate floor. He says that this administration is sending troops into the crossfires of an escalating civil war. Mr. President, he said, with violence in Iraq growing worse each day, it is stunning to hear Secretary Rumsfeld come before the Armed Services Committee with a laundry list of excuses and denials about what is happening there and its consequences for the region. It has been acknowledged that the sectarian violence is as bad as anyone has ever seen. We have had statements from the secretaries from Iraq that they have never seen Iraq so unsettled and so volatile. We have a civil war. The bodies continue to come back. When you have a top military commanders for the Middle East telling Congress yesterday that I believe that the sectarian violence is as bad as I have ever seen it. When you have General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, saying we do have the possibility of that devolving into a civil war. It's awful what is going on in Iraq. It's horrible what is going on in Iraq. And we cannot have this conversation without talking about the stepchildren of Iraq. Guantanamo Bay, where U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said that the United States could indefinitely hold foreign enemy combatants. We need to talk about what people are doing to try to bring a stop to try and have a conversation about why this war is wrong. We're going to talk about Lieutenant Watada, and we're going to talk about him with Lieta Ruger, the Washington State Coordinator with Military Families Speak Out. We're going to be having that conversation right after this break. Stay with me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves. Where else indeed? Big screen television, tools, lawnmowers. Where else indeed are you going to go to get a trifecta? A trifecta shopping experience. Great quality, great price, and great customer service. That's right. That's right. You need to get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you go and get your shop on, please tell them I told you to.
Hello, my name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. When I first ran for office 2 years ago, I made a commitment to you. I said that I would see beyond and tear down the artificial barriers that hold our citizens back. I believe that elected officials should honor their commitments, and I believe that my record in Jefferson City proves that I've done just that. On the issue of education, I have consistently fought on the side of our children. When many in Jefferson City try to cheat our children by implementing school vouchers, I was not fooled when they tried to pass it off as a scholarship bill. I helped gather other legislators on both sides of the aisle. We worked long and hard, and we were finally successful in defeating this wicked school voucher bill. There is more to be done, because they will be back to try to cheat our children again next year. So on August 8th, vote for Maria Chappelle Nadal, State Representative, 72nd District.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower waiting to bloom. Like a light bulb in a dark. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown, and we're going to take some time this morning to talk about one man's stance against this wicked, wicked war. Lieutenant Aaron Watada. And to facilitate that conversation, we have joining us from Bay Center, Washington, Lieta Ruger, Washington State Coordinator with Military Families Speak Out. Lieta, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm very good this morning.
It's very good to have you here. Lieta, who is Lieutenant Aaron Watada?
I met him and stood with him at his first press conference when he announced that he was planning to refuse to deploy. And he's a very impressive young man. He was just turning 28 that day. It was his birthday. And his demeanor and character typify in my mind what I would expect of an officer of the U.S. Army. He conducted himself with just the kind of dignity and respect that I would expect myself. So he's an impressive young man in my mind, and because he's an impressive young man, and he speaks clearly, calmly, thoughtfully, and reflectfully, his message is the message, and one just needs to hear him to understand and appreciate that he's authentic.
And what is his message?
He announced that he would plan to refuse to deploy to Iraq because he had discerned they were illegal orders to an illegal war. And an officer is expected to make that kind of discernment. The oath that he takes, an officer, is to the Constitution. And Lieutenant Watada researched it, looked at it carefully as the war wore on for 3 years, and came to that decision and discernment. And for myself, we have two returning Iraq veterans in our family, and I would expect their officers to do likewise.
And it's my understanding that Lieutenant Watada said that basically has three reasons for why he believes that, why he cannot deploy. He says that the war violates the Constitution and War Powers Acts. He says that the war is illegal under international laws. I'm sorry, he has two reasons. That it violates the Constitution and War Powers Act, and that the war is illegal under international law.
And Nuremberg, yes.
So when we see, how significant is it when we see an officer stepping forward to make these claims? What's the significance of that?
In my opinion, it's very significant. We do have already a history of others who've taken different positions about the war, but when an officer makes this kind of public statement, he already knows the kind of repercussions he's going to suffer. So it's a different kind of courage. It's a different act of courage because the message then goes out among the young military people. Well, they're not all young, but among the military people, that an officer has made this decision. And since it's a leadership role for Lieutenant Watada, that very leadership then is demonstrative for the troops that they can come to that kind of decision themselves regarding their own orders.
So what has Lieutenant Watada exposed himself by stepping forward and saying that the war is illegal because it violates the Constitution and the War Powers Act, and it's illegal under international law, and it violates the Geneva Convention?
He would know that he's exposed himself to a court-martial and prison time, and that can vary from, at this point, 5 to 7 years. Depending on what charges, well, there's three charges, and then there's sub counts under the charges, so there's six altogether.
Go ahead.
So he knows and expects that he's going to pay that kind of a price, and he's willing to pay that kind of a price. That's part of duty. That's part of sacrifice. So it's a very different kind of courage. He also knew he would be subjected to derisiveness, humiliation, and the typical kind of knee-jerk reactions with, you know, things being said about him like coward or and not following orders, or you don't get to pick and choose your wars. He knew that that would be coming. So he's also subjected himself to a lot of humiliation and among his own peers.
One of the things that I need to ask you in terms of what he also is able to do as a result of stepping forward and saying, I am not going to deploy, this war is illegal, this war violates international law. During his trial, he will be able to use those two things as his defense. Is that not correct?
That is correct. And it's his way of making a decision that we actually all have to make, but he has to make his different. But yes, it does call that into question, and will call that into question, and in a different kind of way, it puts the war itself on trial.
And this is different than what other soldiers have done. Because other soldiers, some other soldiers can define themselves as a conscientious objector. That's different than what Lieutenant Watada is doing, isn't that right?
That is correct. Yes, that is correct. Going the conscientious objector route is one avenue, and that says the person is opposed to all violence, all wars. Lieutenant Watada is speaking specifically about the Iraq War and has already said if his orders were to deploy to Afghanistan, he would not have made this decision.
And it is it the desire of Lieutenant Watada to leave the military, to walk away from his position as a lieutenant in the United States Army?
I don't believe so, no. I believe that he's trying with integrity to bring honor to the uniform. I don't think that it's an effort at all to leave or get out. He had other alternatives if that was his objective. He had other alternatives that he could have used. But he chose this as part of his responsibility to make a declarative statement that actually calls into question the war.
Now,
in Iraq.
Now the
which is actually the invasion, occupation.
Absolutely. You're part of an organization, Military Families Speak Out. Who are you? And what does this organization, and why is this organization, what is this organization's role with Lieutenant Watada?
Military Families Speak Out is a national organization, and it is military families who have loved ones deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan, returning or subject to repeat deployments, and in many instances, their loved one hasn't returned at all. It got formed prior to the war by two people, Nancy Lesson and Charlie Richardson, whose son was deploying, and has grown over that period to about 3,000 members nationally across the nation. The uniqueness of this organization is that military families, the protocols and discipline of military, traditionally military families do not speak out. They keep their silence stoically and, quote, support their troops with that silence. So to have military families cross that barrier and speak out is what's unique about this organization, saying it's our loved ones that are being sent over there and we do have an opinion and we're stating it.
Were you all as an organization pleased when Lieutenant Watada joined? I mean, does his decision and does his action bring a different type of energy to your organization? Does it validate it in some way?
The message that Lieutenant Watada has regarding illegal orders, illegal war, is the same that military families speak out. The message that they've had for the last 3+ years, in that we have said that we believe this to be an illegal war. Among the organization itself, it's Washington State chapter that is signed on and endorsed Lieutenant Watada. There's continues to be, among all military families, definitions about what it means to support the troops, and that can vary from family to family. So Washington State chapter, the members in our chapter, because this is at Fort Lewis and very close to home, met and saw him personally, heard him personally, and were convinced that he's authentic and he's got our message and we've got his message.
And yes. In terms of his the action, of his decision to do that, what does it do for your organization?
I'm not sure that it doesn't. Much for our organization at all. We're not, of course, the only organization that supports Lieutenant Watada.
Mm-hmm.
People from all walks of life support him for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The central issue is the war itself and calling that into question and calling, therefore, the administration into question for authorizing an invasion and a occupation and Congress for permitting it to continue. So it dovetails into our own message and our own activities.
Where is Lieutenant Watada now? He chose not to deploy. The other soldiers went on. Where is he now?
He was held for a short while. He's been reassigned. He's still at Fort Lewis. He's doing what they call desk-type duties. He's getting positive reaction from his peers and from the soldiers at Fort Lewis. Some have admired his courage and said they wish they could do likewise. However, they have concerns about their family, they being the sole source of income for their families. So he's in good shape for the moment, waiting his Article 32 hearing, which will be August 16th, and then his court-martial, which will be approximately in October.
So what's the difference between the two hearings? What will he be able to say at the first hearing, and what will he be able to say at the court-martial?
The Article 32 hearing is kind of a preliminary situation where they review the charges, and I believe his attorney will be able to present sort of the framework of what they plan, what their case will be. And after the Article 32 hearing, it gets solidified and formalized and then goes on to the court-martial, where, in fact, that's the test of his case and, therefore, the case of the Iraq War. We already have a sailor who has gone through this process for a different reason. Pablo Paredes refused to board the ship, and there's already been a court-martial hearing on him, and that ruling was that Pablo Paredes had a right to make the decision that this was an illegal war and not board the ship. So I'm optimistic that we'll get to that place again, but beyond, with Lieutenant Watada's court-martial.
That's going to have to be the last word. Lietta Ruger, Washington State Coordinator with Military Family Speak Out, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, thank you, Liz. Thank you very much.
Listen, folks, we'll be back. Stay with me.
The West Wing isn't in Washington, D.C. It's on the Internet. Join Herbstack online at WGNU.net.
Invisible. That's the word a lot of us have been using to describe our current state representative. Have you seen her? She's been in office as a state representative and school board member for 20 years. She's out of touch with the people and issues that affect our community. Issues like the closure of Normandy Hospital, a school board which has failed to provide the tools necessary to educate our children and having one of the highest unemployment rates in the region. It's time for a change. And change is good. Vote for Henry Iwanafu for State Representative, 71st District.
Paid for by the citizens to elect Henry Iwanafu State Representative, Adrian Schiffer, Treasurer.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Slow down, baby. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You know what? You know what? You got a busy weekend ahead of you. At least I know I do. We have the Urban Institute at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor, 1020 North Taylor Urban Institute. And also this weekend from 3:30 to 6:30, the Missouri... University of Missouri Lecture Series presents the State of Black America panel discussion. Reverend Joseph Lowry is going to be the keynote speaker. He's the guy that spoke truth to power, standing in front of George W. Bush at Coretta Scott King's funeral. He's going to be there. I have been invited to participate in this panel discussion. Dr. Joycelyn Elders, I just got word that she's coming in. She's going to be part of this fabulous discussion. It's going to be something. So join us this Saturday at the America Center with the Missouri Black Expos, the State of Black America panel discussion, 3:30 to 6:30. Be there. It's going to be something. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. No offense to folks that are in their 40s, but But the United States Army has raised the age that you can join the United States Army to 41 years old. And here's here's the hoot of it. The Army is saying we're raising the age. Now, mind you, they raised it to 35, and then a few months later they raised it to 40, and now it's to 40. No, I'm sorry, it's 42. It's 42. And the Army is saying this makes good sense because we need older people in the military. They can be the frontline people that we're not going to really be sending them to combat. You a lie and the truth ain't in you. Oh, yes, these 40-year-old folks are going overseas. Yes, they are. And I think that part of the game plan of this, and mind you, this is a plan. These are not small, unrelated decisions. You create an economy where people feel like they have so few choices. There are going to be people that are in their 40s that are going to feel like military is the only option for me because jobs are so hard to come by out here. It's cynical you create an atmosphere where people have no choice or feel that they have no choice. It's bad. And they're also opening up the prisons to get people out, to get them part of the military. What does that say? What does that say? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, and led by gutless cowards like Bush and Cheney, who evaded Vietnam with all their power, but we have guardsmen over there, 59, as old as 59, in the front line. One thing you can say, Liz, the last Texan put us in a bloody, disastrous conflict, but at least history will say civil rights, Medicare, Medicaid, war on poverty mitigates somewhat that horrific mistake. These people still will not admit they've made any mistake. And they have done nothing for no one. They have no mitigation before history except just total anarchy. Thank you very much, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Follow on the car phone.
What I tell you about that criteria, you know, whether you can stop a bullet or not. It's going to be that. They're going to come up with the draft, especially with what's going on. But it's shameful. And a lot of people don't realize that there's a lot of people who retired that they went back into the military. They're giving them their rank. They're letting them come back in like nothing has stopped. And talk to a gentleman at Fort Knox. He's training some of these older people that came back into the military.
My father retired from the military about 35 years ago. They called him. call him and ask him if he would be interested in coming back in some form or another.
Right.
You know, so...
It's bad, and it's going to get worse. And another thing, this situation in Lebanon with the Israelis, I wonder how many people are, you know, with this whole thing about 911, and we've been watching, and incidentally, they had that symposium or whatever it was on C-SPAN with Alex Jones, them talking about 911. But anyway, I wonder how many people feel or think that the Israelis and the Mossad had something to do with 911. And the fact that all of this information, and one thing the Bush administration can't do is stop the information that's coming across the Internet. I wonder how many people realize that if the one thing that the Israelis could do to basically thwart people's attentions, take people's minds off of what's going on, is go into Lebanon and start this war with those people over there so we can quit talking about 911. I wonder how many people are really looking into this. This whole situation is madness.
It is. And when you turn on the... It is madness. When you turn on the news... At the same time, we were having a deep emphasis of the war in Iraq on the news. They were gradually removing it from the front of our face.
Absolutely.
Then, so what do we have to replace it? This war over here in Lebanon.
And in the meantime,
Iraq is imploding.
Exactly. It's just going up in flames, and they know it, and they can't do anything about it. But let's talk real quick about the gas situation. I wonder how many people realize that back in the day, let's say in the 70s and 80s, they were coming out with electric cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically slammed that situation. And I don't know if it was the oil companies, but I wonder how many people out there realize that these oil companies know that one day, we've already came up with the technology where we don't have to use gas. They can have electric cars that run in the city. Electric cars only in the city. So what do? They come up with reasons to raise the price of gas, to raise the price of oil, so they can go ahead and make this money before people go to electric and they quit using oil. So they're going to get out there and they're going to make all of the money that they can possibly make right now, and they're sticking it down our throats, knowing that they could have we could have electric cars. They came up with a hybrid that was just to keep people quiet.
And here's something that people need to kind of tie together. First of all, our gas prices went up 30 something cents last night. Went up 30 something cents last night. There is nothing that happened in the world to justify that.
No.
And secondly, people need to just make certain that they understand just to understand the twistedness of the philosophy here. How is it that the oil companies are in charge of coming up with alternative ways to fuel besides oil? That's the stupidest thing in the whole world. That's the stupidest thing in the whole world. Why would they? Why would they? But they love they love us having the expectation that they're the ones that are supposed to come up with cars that create less gas or use less gas. You know, they're in charge of eliminating our dependency on oil. Who? What? That's like asking the drug dealer to be in charge of it. You know, I mean, you're going to be in charge of the drug program.
You know, and it's absolutely true, Liz, and it's also like, go back to the 70s when they came up with the carburetor that would make a car do 60, 70 miles to the gallon, and it was the oil companies who bought that carburetor and shelved it.
There you go.
So they can continue doing what they're doing. People better wake up.
That's a fact.
Robbed.
That's a fact. Getting got. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Marty.
Yeah, aren't the drug dealers are in charge of the drug program? Then the drug economy is what runs this country.
You know,
partially.
I'm gonna shut up and listen. Show you right.
Yeah.
Show you right.
Yeah, you know, and you know, the funny thing about it is, I was listening to what you were saying about the oil situation. There has been so many. Well, I remember when I was going to school for auto mechanics, and my teacher was saying that there were ways that people were coming up with better ways of getting gas mileage and things like that. And like the last gentleman said, the oil companies were suppressing these things to keep these things from coming out. And it's like, you know, the people don't have any faith in the people anymore. They so ready to turn everything over to the oil companies and these big companies to run everything. You know, they're just becoming so much followers instead of these companies supposed to be catering to us. We are more or less catering to them.
But we're living now after several generations of students and children and young people have been taught to sacrifice their rights on the altar of law and order, that they shut up. We can come in and search your lockers. We can drug test you. They've been taught to walk this line of law and order. And they've been taught that they have no rights. So now when it comes time to fight and say that I do, we've got to re-educate them about having rights to begin with, and then we have to educate them how to fight. We're in a tough place.
Well, if it's not too late, because after generation after generation.
It's never too late. I got to roll with it. It's never too late. Got to roll, Marty. Listen, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
This is Sergeant Gary Wigger. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Detroit. Apple Computer has announced a deal with Ford and Mazda to begin installing iPods into a number of 2007 models. Ford says there will be audio input jacks to connect iPods and MP3 players on board several of its vehicles, and an extra feature will be a docking mechanism in the glove box that will allow storage and recharging of iPods. Apple says that after next year, over 70% of all new cars sold in the U.S. will have some type of iPod technology included in them. And Dateline Washington. Reports today that the 10 members of the government's commission on the 9/11 attacks were divided on how truthful the Pentagon's version of the events of that day really were. Some of the members were so distraught over what they heard that they wanted the Justice Department to launch a criminal investigation into the matter because they felt flat out that they had been lied to. Vanity Fair magazine today has a story that contains excerpts from military audio tapes of that fateful day that indicate the Pentagon never had any of the hijacked airlines in its sights, and that one of the fighter jets that had been scrambled was looking for Flight 93 after it had already crashed into the World Trade Center. However, testimony given to the 9/11 Commission by NORAD and the FAA was that air defenses had reacted quickly and were prepared to shoot down Flight 93 if it posed a threat to Washington. The Inspector General's Office of the Pentagon says a report is due to be released by the fall that will examine whether testimony given to the commission was knowingly false. There was another report secretly given to Congress last year that blamed the discrepancies on problems with the record keeping of the Defense Department. Some of the commission members said it became clear something was not right when they had to get subpoenas to force the FAA and NORAD to release the tapes and emails of that day, and found out they did not support what had been told to them by their representatives during the hearings. This is your wake-up call global news update.
This is Bill Haas, and I'm asking for your vote in the Democratic primary for state representative. For 8 years on the school board, I stood up for our children. Now I want to stand up for you in Jefferson City. My opponent Rodney is my friend, and I love him like a brother. But he's a dog on the issues. He votes like a bad Republican. Even the unions won't support him. He sponsored a bill to take money away from the St. Louis schools and give it to private schools. What's up with that? That's selling out our children. And if he's elected, he's probably going to help Slay try to take over the schools. So if you're a Democrat, I should be your candidate. And I need your help to get elected. Don't do it for me. Do it for yourself. I'll make you proud every day, and I'll never let anything bad happen to you. Go to my website, runbillrun.com, to volunteer, and punch 33 to vote for Bill. That's me, Bill Haas, Tuesday, August 8th. Paid for by Bill Haas for State Rep. Francine Lamond's treasurer.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get to me, because it's that time. It is that time. It's time for the Liz Brown Because We Care package giveaway. We have wonderful things. We have t-shirts, we have books, we have cups, we have magnets, we have so much great stuff. And who's going to win this week? Miss Hamilton, let's turn the big barrel and see who we have. Let's see who we have. Reach in there and grab one of the names out. See what we got. What do we have? Who is one of our winners?
Congratulations to Marie Brown.
Marie Brown, no relation. I don't know who that is. I do not know who that is. There are a lot of Browns out there. Let's pull one more name. One more name for the Because We Care pack giveaway package. What do we have?
Louis Haynes
and Marie H. Brown. Congratulations to our winner. Thank you, Miss Hamilton. And if you didn't win, that's okay. We have the gift giveaway next week. That's Because We Care. Congratulations to our winners. You will be contacted and your packages will be put together. Miss Hamilton, you'll be putting together those packages for them? All right. Very good. Very good. I am Liz Brown. Let me get to some of our callers that have been waiting to get to me. Floyd.
How you doing, Miss Brown?
How are you?
I'm doing fine this morning.
Wonderful.
You know, you brought the issues about your guesses about this military charges about these young men.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Lieutenant Aaron Watada.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Lieutenant Aaron Watada.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we should have more military men instead of against this war. Mm-hmm. In the first place, I blame the people in the White House, from the top level to the bottom of the level. Because when you got idiots like running guys, this clown like George Bush, running this country in the ground, and people are dying. Murderous young boys and girls been killed day, every day since this thing started, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
Every
Absolutely.
Day since this thing started. And I keep reading on the news. And I feel sorry for the family. And had he been to a funeral to visit a family? No. Had he ever been to and apologized to them? No. He sat up there and laughed about, well, I just try to make the assume freedom. What freedom? What's going on in Iraq? What's going on in Afghanistan? What's going on all over the other world?
His daughters are old enough. Why aren't they in the war?
That's what I want to know.
All right now.
All right. You have a good weekend.
Take care of yourself. You too, Floyd.
Bye-bye.
Please don't forget that this Friday, what am I saying? Tomorrow. What am I saying? There's the University of Missouri, St. Louis, in conjunction with the Black Expo panel discussion. I'm going to be on it. State of Black America. Dr. Joyson Elder, she's going to be on it as well. And also the keynoter is going to be Dr. Joseph Lowry.
He's the man who spoke truth to power at the funeral of Coretta Scott King. When George Bush was there, he spoke about this wicked war, about wicked government, about lawless government. Huh. He's going to be there in the time, 3:30 to 6:30. You don't want to miss this incredible panel discussion. There are going to be folks on there that it's going to be spirited. It's going to be spirited. 3:30 to 6:30 at the Missouri Black Expo. That's at America's Center. Come on down. I'd love to see you. I would really, really love to see you down there Saturday from 3:30 to 6:30. And then don't forget the Urban Institute tomorrow as well, 9 o'clock. Well, you need to come on down. We have much business to tend to. My name is Liz Brown. I get up, get to me. Darius.
Morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm just fine. My question is, how do you accumulate that information from the wake-up news, wake-up call news?
Gathered from all over the place.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. No, that's...
I mean, who gathers that? Is it somebody on your staff that gathers
Joe
that?
Garcia is the person. That, in fact, he's won an award for that, for the Global News.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I was wondering how that...
No, that's Joe Garcia. That's Joe Garcia.
And you know, on the Internet, you can kind of grab news. There's certain news groups that have information. You can kind of gather all that.
No.
I didn't know Garcia did.
Everything attached to the wake-up call is award-winning, and Joe Garcia is no exception. He has won an award for his Global News reports.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And Howard is award-winning as well.
Oh, is it?
Yes,
you too, right?
That's right.
Aren't you award-winning?
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, it's by Joseph Lowry?
Yes.
I used to be, I'm a retired UAW worker. When we first started having memorial things for Dr. Martin Luther King, they invited Joseph Lowry to speak for us that first year. And when he got through speaking, they didn't invite him anymore.
I get that, too.
Yeah, I mean, he was outstanding.
I know he was.
He didn't come back no more. I let you know how great a speaker he is.
That's a wonderful thing. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
The running that you would come out and expose something I have been saying for some time. This is a repeat of World War II. If anyone who has not read history should read current history concerning world wars and American wars. During World War II, MacArthur convinced the President and the Congress to open the prisons and bring out black males who were convicted of major crimes and send them to Tawada Island to take that island back because the Japanese had taken it from America and they couldn't get it back. This thing is happening right now, this thing that you talk about opening up these prisons, they're doing it again, and they're going to continue to do it. What this implies is that the United States has totally failed in that area, and they're losing troops faster than they're reporting them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And to top this off, when they tell you they lost 2,500 troops, this is the same thing they pulled in Vietnam. When they lost 2,500, they really mean they've lost 45
mm-hmm.
to 5,500 troops.
And the other piece of it is that not only are we not winning, we can't win this.
No, you can't, because now what they've done, being what I am, and you know what I am, I know the attitude of those people. They have united that area. Don't be surprised if Jordan doesn't fall in line with the rest of this now. This is going to get worse and worse and worse. And eventually America is going to have to do what the Germans did in Russia. When the Germans had to leave Russia, they're going to have to try to break out of there. They're not going to be allowed to leave there peacefully. You understand what I'm saying?
There is something big and bad getting ready to go down.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
As bad as it is right now, as horrible as it is, I'm looking at this astonishing picture on the front page of the New York Times. This woman is having to walk her babies through blood out of an apartment building. It's awful.
Okay. And you know that same thing happened in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
People were walking through much blood to get away from escalating fighting. Another thing that you can possibly look forward to, but at this time in 2007, you can look forward to a lot of desertions. It's coming. There's no way to stop this now.
Mm.
There's absolutely no way. You're going to have people deserting hand over fist before long, and you're going to see mutinies, which they never reported to the public during the Vietnam conflict. Troops were killing their officers.
No, the fragging that was going on, absolutely. But another untold or not highly told story is all of the mutinies that actually went on the boats out there that refused to deploy to. They would sabotage the boats so that they couldn't get to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
They did all kinds of actions, and that helped bring the war to a close.
Yes, it did.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown bringing this week to an end. Next week is the election week. Watch this weekend some of the crazy, stuff that's going to come out of the bag this weekend pertaining to the elections. Watch that. Be back to give you day by day, a blow by blow conversations about the election next week, Monday and Tuesday. This weekend, join me at the Missouri Black Expo from 3:30 to 6:30. Wonderful panel discussion that's going on. Dr. Joycelyn Elders, of course, Dr. Lowry, that's going to be there as well. Joseph Lowry is going to be the keynote speaker. 3:30 to 6:30, the Missouri Black Expo, the Missouri University of Missouri Lecture Series, The State of Black America, 3:30 to 6:30 at the America Center. Come on down. It's going to be a spirited discussion. You just don't want to miss it. And I would love, love, love to see you all there. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We have much business to tend to, and we're going to take care of it over